mic so that I can record. Yeah. Had a legal challenge on whether or not our recording equipment actually works properly.
We're on.
Counselors shut off their mics.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could do that. Yeah, we could touch. This is the Riel Community Committee, where we are going to begin our non-public portion of the meeting from 4:30 to 5. At 5 o'clock, we'll be hearing the official public hearing on subdivisions and rezonings and conditional uses and variances. I'm Councillor Dan Bendel. I'm chairing the meeting this evening. To my left is City Clerk Mark Piquet. To his left is St. Norbert Councillor Justin Swandell, and we are waiting for Councillor Gord Steeves from St. Patel. Councillor Swandell represents St. Norbert. So, si vous voulez parler français, vous pouvez parler, puis on a une traductrice en arrière. If you need French language translation, please let us know. Okay, item one, the second one, St. Vital Ward.
Prior to that, I'll move that the minutes of the meeting held on July 12, 2010 and August 3, 2010 be taken as read and confirmed.
All in favor? Carried.
And I'll move that the minutes of the Residents Advisory Group meeting held on September 2, 2010 be received as information.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Item one.
It's a St. Vital item. I'll move we stand it down until Councillor Steeves is here.
All in favor? Carried. Item two, per capita grant.
You see, this is here in two locations, I think two and seven. These are both related to the flood issues with Pakistan asking the Pakistani Association of Pakistani Canadians asking for some assistance. I will move $500 from the St. Norbert Ward per capita grant.
I will move $500 as well from the St. Boniface Ward.
We'll hold the that open for Gord to get it as well.
Yeah, item 7, we'll just stand out.
Okay.
All in favor, so that's 500 and 500. All in favor? Contrary, carried on item 2.
Item number 3, Mr. Chairman, is the Gaining Resources Our Way. It's outreach program for youth with autism. I will move $500 from the St. Norbert Ward per capita grant allocation.
All in favor? Contrary, carried. Councillor Swandell, can you move... $400 for me for item 4.
Mr. Stroke, so moved.
All in favor? Contrary, carried. Item 5, Julie Jacquet.
I'll move $200. Oh no, this is, hang on, what's going on here?
It's Councillor Steeves, but it says St. Norbert.
It's in St. Norbert.
And Councillor Steeves wants to move it. Stand this down until Gord gets here. Dan, I'll move item, we stand item 5 down until...
Councillor Swindell, actually, Councillor Steeves referred it to me, and in fact, it's in your ward.
Right.
So does Councillor Steeves want to move...
Does he want to do something with it? No. I will move the $200 then.
Okay, all in favor? Contrary, carried. Item 6. Down. Stand it down. Item 7, we stand down. Item 8, Dakota Lancers, as St. Vital. Stand it down. Item 9, stand down. Item 10, stand down. Item 11.
You're going to have to stand this down as well. We have to deal with this today, but Councillor Steeves and I are going to share on this one. It's the Dakota Community Center, the buildings in my ward, but most of the catchment areas in Ward's ward.
Okay. Item 12, St. Vital Mustangs, stand down.
Standing down, St. Vital.
13, same. Stand down. 14, Councillor Swandell, can you move this list?
I will move the street names list as presented.
All in favor? Contrary, carried. Item 15, non-conforming approach.
I think we've got to wait for Gord. There he is.
Sorry, guys.
Gord, welcome.
We stood a number of other ones down for you. We're on item number 15 now, non-conforming approach on 104 Settlers Road.
Yeah, to me it looks fine.
Look fine?
Yeah. Administration. Okay.
They just sent it to us for a nod.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Be approved. 46 Fonseca.
Fonseca.
Fonseca. Where the hell are you guys from?
Not from Carndiff, Saskatchewan, I can tell you. I will move that the non-conforming approach be granted.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Item 17, can someone move approval?
I'll move approval of 51 Edenwood Place for non-conforming approach.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Item 18, Marine Drive.
I'll also move approval here for 111 Marine Drive.
Okay, now let's go back to the ones we missed.
Okay.
Councilor Steve,
still getting my stuff up here.
Hope you have your numbers.
You don't have the number that Colin gave him to you?
No. She said you guys were going to work them up?
We did. She said she gave it to you this morning.
No, she didn't.
Well, here, I'll email her down and get her to bring them up. Because we have them all done. It's just that I thought you had them.
They
work out to the penny, so I can't guess. I don't have them.
All your per capita grants down.
Yeah,
standard per capita grants down. We can do them after. The only one is the Dakota Community Center one, Gord. What do we want to do there? The request is for $47,000, a community incentive grant for the crumbling walls.
They already have the quote, eh?
Yeah, 90, whatever that is, half of that is, $95,000, $96,000.
Oh my God.
$30,000, $20,000? Yeah, sure. Or 30 and 17, I'll do 30, you do 17?
Sure.
Okay, so move for the Dakota Community Center.
17, all in favor? Contrary? Carried.
30 and 17 and change.
Yeah, what was it, 30
and 30? St. Norbert's doing the 30?
St. Norbert's doing the 30. St. Patel's doing the 17.
Okay, item 12, St. Patel Mustangs. Do you want to do that now? Or?
Yeah, I'll move that.
Move item 12 from St. Patel Ward. All in favor? Yeah. Contrary and carried. The Vermette Lands?
Yeah, we'll move that. We had this one on the last agenda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just put it on. That's fine. Yeah, check it out. It's good.
Moved by Councillor, the recommendation by Councillor Steves. All in favor? Contrary? Carried.
Right. That'll have to go up to P&D.
Yeah. Anything else? What else did we miss?
All the per capita grant.
Just the per capita.
Did you want to come back to that later, Councillor Steves? The per capita grant?
Like I have the whole list. I thought Colleen gave it to Mark, but she didn't. My mistake.
Okay, why don't we go to new business then, because we've dealt with everything else, and then we can go back to yours, Councillor Steves?
Yep.
I have a per capita grant for, I'd like to approve for $250 for Mini Franco Fund to Saint Marie Fest. So, Councillor Steves, can you move that for me?
Those in favor?
I'll move it.
You can call the question. However you want to do it.
Okay. St. Boniface Ward. Any other new business?
I've got the one that I sent you earlier, Mark, the $250.
10-year Peace Academy?
The Peace Academy, $250 from the St. Norbert Ward per capita allocation.
All in favor?
Contrary?
Carried.
Yeah, this McCuitt Field in St. Boniface for the Greendale football program. Mm-hmm. They want to put down some crumb rubber in the players' boxes. $705.60. The guys will spread it out themselves. You've been getting emails all week. I don't know if you have a chance to look at them, but no, okay.
What's the issue?
No, there's no issue. We need $705 for them to help them with to pay for the cost of the crumb rubber for them to put it down because it's been so wet. It's common for football fields. We put down old recycled rubber chunks so the players' boxes don't get torn up and the players aren't standing in mud. The Mustangs and the Rods both do it. So
who's actually going to clean
it? The Greendale Falcons. We share the catchment area, you and I, for the team, even though they're called the Greendale Falcons. So Mark wants us to do this out of Parks and Rec or line dedication money, just to split it.
Well, you need an evaluation and an application before you can do anything.
Oh, do we just?
Yes, you do.
Well, no, this had to be done.
I advised you last week.
This had to be done. Well, they haven't. They just got the cost to me today.
Did they fill out an application?
So let's do it subject to application being filled.
Subject to meeting criteria.
Yep.
We're not supposed to do that anymore, right? That's why we have those applications and evaluations in places, so that we can do that in advance of.
Yeah, but I want to give the guys
there's no more.
Well, see, the league has pulled the games in the last two weekends because it's been too wet. So there's some pressure to get it done. They've had to find alternate places to play.
So the money won't flow until it comes back here.
That's if I can tell
which
them
is
that,
November.
That's fine. I sure hope whoever is sitting in these chairs sees it the same way we do. If that's the best
way
to do.
Why would that be, Mark?
So you need an evaluation to be submitted through the RIS. That's the process for land dedication. They've got application.
We can
forms. Suspend
the rules and move that
okay.
We proceed subject to it meeting criteria. That's all.
So which fund do you want to approve it out of?
We get a new. There's a new PCG allotment, right?
No.
Nope.
Not until January.
Let's do land dedication. 50-50.
Yep. Okay.
Save it. Save bonds.
Right. Land dedication.
Okay. Councilor Steve's moves that be approved to the maximum of $750
and 60 cents.
$5.60.
Divided equally between St. Bonaventure.
Who's the applicant?
Greendale Falcons Football Club.
Financed by St. Vital, St. Bonaventure, line dedication, 50-50, subject to them meeting criteria.
Okay. Who's the applicant? What's their mailing address?
Neil Hansen. Senator Greendale Football, Greendale Community Center. Whatever that is. I'll forward this to you, Mark.
Pass the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried.
Could I walk another one on? This is not a big deal. St. Anne's Road. 681 St. Anne's Road. There's some failure of the riverbank there. I'd just like to ask our publics, and the public service has been out there meeting with the residents of the condominium. I think they're already preparing something. We can just ask them to prepare a report and come here.
We'd have to forward that to the standing committee for them to direct the Winnipeg Public Service.
Okay, that's fine.
So P&D?
Yep, if you don't mind.
Okay. Do you have a copy of their request?
Here, I wrote it in my book.
Okay, so the motion is to report on the riverbank failure. Do I have it right?
Yeah. On the Seine River, obviously?
Yeah, Seine River, yeah.
Okay, we've heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried. That goes to P&D.
Those animals.
There's a plan approval in the St. Vital ward.
Looks all right. All good?
Yep.
This is the it's back again, eh? This is the storage containers. Yeah, okay.
Forgot about that one, Councilor.
Good. This is fine.
Moved by Councilor Steves that the plan approval be approved. All in favor, Councilor Farron.
There's also a land dedication reserve. There's a last-minute application submitted on Friday. We were able to get an evaluation if you'd move suspension of the rules.
Yeah, I'll move suspension of the rules and may move $5,000 of land dedication money for tree plant, additional tree plant to get Kirkridge Park.
All in favor?
Thank you.
Okay, we are 12 minutes ahead of schedule.
Well, have you got your other stuff ready?
No. Wait a second. Maybe the boss has sent it up to me. No, she has not yet. She's Probably getting it together. You know what? I'll take 2 seconds at the beginning of the public meeting. Two seconds?
You can do that after. Too.
Whatever.
After.
Yeah. I've rearranged my stuff so I can be here for the whole thing. So.
Okay, so we're done until 5 o'clock. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. And at 5 o'clock, we will hear the public hearing on Bison Drive.
No, I just want to look at it. We've been talking to public service. We've been back.
There's the address. It's the riverbank behind 681.
Yeah.
So look at it.
Bring it up on IG there. I'll show you which one it is here. And I'll make sure, because there's a circle of condominiums. Maybe 681 is the wrong one, but it's right at 681. There's a, like a, you know how they have like six buildings or so?
It's going like this, and then they got a walkway that goes along the river there.
Yeah, like a sidewalk. It's weird, though, you know. The sidewalk that goes behind the condominium, like that's orientated towards the river, it's actually on our property.
What's Eye Gallery, Justin?
What's that?
What's Eye Gallery?
Eye Gallery?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Eye Gallery is photos.
Content authors. Who's iView now?
iView is under Maps, eTools Maps.
It was approved. Sorry, that's when I was nodding at you. You were the guy I was looking at.
What address are
you? 104 Settlers.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty wide approach. You're lucky there's not a whole mess of wide ones on that street. Then it gets complicated.
Yeah. All right, thanks. See you, Gordon.
You guys take care. How are you?
Good.
You? Still, I'm not bad. You staying out of trouble?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are you up to now, dude?
I got that email too. I clicked unsubscribe right at the bottom.
Hey Peter, it's Justin. I had the meeting at 1:30 today, and I'm in a public hearing till probably about 7:30 or 8 o'clock tonight.
Hey.
And then I'll come and see you after that.
Gordon doesn't have any numbers. He says you have them.
Please do, especially if your PowerPointing set up now, otherwise it takes a...
Okay, I've got it right here.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I thought somebody came up against you on the weekend, no?
I've got Gord's numbers here.
You found them? They won't add up.
We have headphones.
We got the headphones. Simultaneous.
And we have three members, or well, three people bilingual. Dan, Gord, and Mark are all bilingual. I'm the only non-bilingual, so.
Two and a half.
Yeah, but Gord's a half bilingual. Right?
This guy. You know what? I thought maybe you or I made a mistake, but clearly I was in error. Thanks.
Bye. No, I was in error. She'd given this to Lorraine.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so let's go over this so I can do quick. What's the DCI?
Dakota Collegiate Institute football team.
This one? Dakota Lancers football?
Yes, 8. 138.60. Southwest, that's the baseball guys. Southwest, big slow pitch. Yeah. 15.
Pakistan.
121.89. There's the filler.
Loser cuts, 200.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that one.
Why not?
Because it's in Justin's award.
Farnsworth?
Yeah, isn't it?
No, that's not. That's not. That's, you're looking at the wrong one. Where's Farnsworth?
Oh.
Hold on.
Is there Erickson?
Is Jacquette in your...
Farnsworth Crescent, is that St. Norbert or Sabatop?
Farnsworth? She called us. She called me. I gave her a
board. I think it's really.
Let me tell you, what's the address? I think it's River Park South, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Or, well, River Park South.
It's Farnsworth, period.
Farnsworth is.
Isn't that on your side?
I thought that that was in St. Boniface, actually.
Okay.
Island Lakes Royalwood is what I'm thinking of. Oh, it's one of the new ones on the pond out in... Come on. Aldgate, Eastcote, what's this? Paddington, where is Dakota?
It's off Patty.
Okay, get oriented here.
Berlin.
There's Aldgate. Where's Dakota? So Dakota's further that way. Further. Yeah, so it's in my ward. So right behind the Berlin School. Yeah, it's right here. It's in my ward.
It's in
you owe $200.
No, I just gave the
$200. You got $200 extra.
$200.
You have something else? Or do you want to give somebody else more?
Buy another ticket, Sir Collier, please. Double that. Double that and give the rest to these. And give the rest to the Pakistani people. That's Jakarta's building out there.
Give difference to the Pakistani Youth Relief.
It's time. We're missing our chair. You got them all figured out?
Yeah.
We can do it after the public hearing.
Just do it in one motion.
I'll zip it right off. There's a number of submissions for this one.
What's that?
Yeah.
Well,
Really, the first time I look at the agenda, it was at 4:25. Just an election.
But Colleen, I was under the impression that you were giving me something that you were waiting for him today. No, we're done. You're too efficient. The work was already done. I listened to you, but I didn't hear you.
Okay, 5 o'clock. We are going to call the public meeting to order. I'm Councillor Mandel. I'm chair of this committee, the Real Community Committee. Mark Pitea, to my left, is the clerk for the Real Community Committee. Representing St. Vitale, Councillor Gord Steeves, and representing St. Norbert, Councillor Justin Swandell. Mark?
All persons who wish to speak or receive notice of the hearing body's decision and or recommendation must fill out one of those forms that they have at the table at the front and submit it to me as soon as possible. Copies can be found with Lorraine outside on the table. And she's going to be bringing them to me right away. If you haven't filled one out, go fill one out now. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, the process the committee will follow is the applicant will be heard first, followed by those in support of the application. Next, those registered in opposition are heard, followed by those registered for information. Finally, the applicant may return if he or she so desires to speak in rebuttal. Please note that when your name is called, it is not your... Please note that when your name is called, it is your opportunity to speak. However, you are not obligated to do so. This process is actually outlined in one of these brochures, which you can find outside on that registration table. Item 1 is an application for rezoning and subdivision for 60 Bison Drive under file DASZ 20 of 2010. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing. And the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely Item 2, which is an application for variance the same premises affected under file DAV 143980/2010D. The applicant is Ray Wan.
Mr. Wan, welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Please begin your presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the application is to rezone the existing Bison Drive south or east of the existing Superstore and further east and south of the existing Cambrian Credit Union that are under construction right now at the corner of the commonly enjoyable approach being shared between proposed lot 1, 2, and 3 and the existing Superstore site with a gas station and the recently completed MPI building further to the north of Superstore. The nature of the application is to consider rezoning the existing C3 down to a RMU, multiple family residence mixed use. We have gone through the report that was posted on the website last week prior to the weekend and subsequently received the hard copy prior to the meeting. With the lack of time to go through this particular meeting, with the condition that we assume this report is exactly the same as the one posted on the website last Thursday, I believe. Well, assume the condition and the recommendation and opinions are the same. If I may, I would like to go through it item by item on the planner's report just to give you a highlight in terms of what our opinions are with the planner's report in representing the client's interest. In this case, the client is the developer, Dynasty Group. First of all, on the rezoning application, item number 2.8.1 talks a little bit about final plan approval with regard to building design, landscaping, garbage enclosure, and so on. That's a standard procedure that we agree with. Second item, with regard to the 40 feet natural landscape buffer to be maintained, that's roughly about 12.2 meter on the southern extent of the site. The application that we have submitted show a 25 feet. In further consideration and going through the planner's report, we are in agreement with such requirement to provide you the 40 feet natural landscape area, but we also want to ask for a small exception where the plan that I submitted show a stairwell on the south end of the building, allow that portion of that building to, if I may, that will be at the very tip over here, allowing that portion, roughly about 10 feet deep, to be within that 40 feet of natural landscaping. And the rest of the building can allow the site to maintain that 40 feet natural landscaping as required. The difficulty and challenges are particularly the vehicular access and safety issue at the common junction over here between Cambrian, ourselves, a superstore, and the gas station. We would like to move the vehicular access into the underground parking as far away from the intersection point as where we can, as far as we can. So I'm asking this block of the building maintain where it is, allowing a small portion, roughly about 10 feet deep, which is only a stairwell, is not a living area, no windows, you don't lose any privacy, other than that portion of the building will be into that 40 feet length. So it'll be reduced by from 40 down to 30 at the south end of a portion of the proposed building. The rest of the site, we can maintain that 40 feet of natural landscaping. Item 2.8.3, limiting the building height up to 55 feet as shown on our plan. We have no objection to that. And item 2.8.4, maximum building height for lot 3, which is this building towards the north end of the building, no more than 75 feet instead of the maximum height being permitted under RMU, which is 100 feet. We felt is adequate, is appropriate, is compatible to what the existing environment and condition and context further to the east of the proposed site along Bison Drive. So we have no objection to that limit instead of 100 feet allowed, permitted under RMU and stay with the 75 feet. Item 2.8.5, those are all the agreeable title thing. Can I skip those legal stuff? Okay. I don't want to bore you. You already know what they are. Okay. And point 6, point 7, point 8, and point 9, we do not have any problem with it. With regard to point 8, to be approved by Chief of Winnipeg Fire Department Safety for the access, vehicle access for firefighting, I believe our landscape architect, our landscape consultant, has been in consultation with the fire department before we submitted the plan. The turning radius and the fire route has been identified on our plan submitted in support of the application. Item 3, the previous caveat be withdrawn. We agree with that. Item 4 deals with the many other items. Item 5 specifically talk about the 10% dedication fee. I hope the council and the committee recognize we are technically downzoning from CM3 or C3 down to RMU, and there are several other criteria as recommended by the administration. I'd like to visit that 10% dedication fee in conjunction with several items that are coming up on the report. So I'll withheld that item number 5 with regard to 10% dedication until later part of my presentation. Point 6, 24 months period, no problem. And 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, those are all administration process that are normal course that we will follow. Going to the planner's report. It briefly mentioned the differences between the current permitted use of C3. Just for interest, everybody here in the room, under C3, you are allowed up to, I believe, is 49 feet, and a hotel complex can be built without even coming forward. In this case, we are proposing a much more compatible use other than a C3 zoning, seeing what happened to the east side, the Mosaic property, being a more multifamily residential. in order to complement the what the planning department is encouraging, residential mixed use, to further support what is already existing, the gas station, the MPI, Cambrian Credit Union, the Superstore. A medium to higher density residential will further enhance the area rather than a more commercial, especially the vehicular access is no longer permitted to have any more approach off Bison. So that put a lot of limitation to any further or future commercial development. As part of the report, it required several conditions, and I'll bring up the 10% dedication requirement at this stage. One of the key elements is requesting a 2.562 meter of land area on the east side to further widening of an existing public walkway. Currently, based on the survey plan that we have received, it estimated about 2.4 meter. Pardon me for my ignorance. This is the first time I ever heard of a 5-meter pathway as a City of Winnipeg standard. Someone can correct me. I am familiar with the 3 or 3.5 meter. The one that I recently built along McGilvery is a 3-meter wide, roughly, pathway. What you have on site right now as part of the Mosaic property development on the west side of Mosaic, if I may present you some exhibit of what is happening on site. On the west side of Mosaic, right now you do have a 2.5 meter wide asphalt pathway. With a solid fence on the Mosaic side, roughly about 4 feet high fence. And along the north side of Mosaic, this is what you have. The fence has been cut open. Along the west side, the northwest corner of that particular wood fence, and there is already a cross access that has been done after the fact. Looks like someone cut it after the fence was built.
You mean to access the path, is that what you mean?
Yeah, right now, that picture I'm showing you, this particular opening, see the cut over here? And if you look at the exhibit, the second picture that has been passed around with the hydro transformer and the telephone pedestal, you can see the limitation, the area where the pedestal and the hydro transformer is located. It bottleneck. It does bottleneck. I can see why there's a widening required, but to widen up to 5 meters and then ask the next developer to put up another strip of fence, all we're doing is creating a 5-meter alleyway. Is that appropriate? We beg a question. What we are suggesting to be considered by the committee is maintain the existing pathway. I have been there at least half a dozen times, and the usage, in my opinion, relatively low. We would suggest a better solution is to widen up where it's needed, i.e. where the transformer and the telephone pedestal location is. Widen it up, take some of our property, widen it up. Instead of widening a hard surface, let's use that chunk of land and do landscaping. Because based on our open house, we hear comment about residents from Mosaic and saying, coming and looking out to the west, you got nothing. There is not even one tree. The picture show you along the west property line of Mosaic does not have one strip of green. How was that approved before, and what happened to plan approval on that particular site, we cannot question. But when you're standing there, all you have is a hard edge. It's a fence. There's nothing soft landscaping as a barrier instead. What we're proposing is take up that 2.5 meter. Let's do some soft landscaping. Allow us to do a 4-foot fence, to do some privacy, to screen off the parking area. But instead of doing an asphalt pathway, a 5 meter wide, which is like a back lane.
On page 24 of the report under servicing agreement, you don't have to go there, but the intent is that we acquire an additional 2.5-something meters of land for an overall right-of-way width for the pathway, The actual final completed pathway width is only intended to be 3.5 meters, which is the standard for multi-use pathways for pedestrians and baby carriages, etc., to safely maneuver past each other. So the actual finished asphalt surface, the intent is only to add on to what's there for a completed asphalt surface width of 3.5 meters, which is
okay.
It's being built up.
The report suggests up to 5 meters of pathway and to be constructed and paid for by the developer.
No, it doesn't. It says property required for widening to the standard 5 meters. Property, if you provide 2.562 meters, then you'll get a total property width of 5 meters.
If I may, sure, thank you.
And 3.5 meters will be asphalt pathway, which will be added on to what's existing. And there is room for some landscaping.
How wide is the pathway that's there right now?
About 2.5 meters.
2.5
is slightly over 8 feet. 8 feet is 2.4.
Okay, let's not get hung up on this one.
Yep. Come back
to this later.
If you go back to Schedule B, under the servicing agreement, item C.1, it does say the developer shall, at no expense to the city, construct an asphaltic concrete widening to the existing multi-use pathway to the public in the public right-of-way abutting to the east of the planned area. That's where I got that opinion from.
Yep. Read the rest of it.
The final completed pathway of 3.5 meters. But then in the next one, we say where the city's building the 3.0 meter wide on Bison Drive.
The point here is the consistency I'm trying
so
to
So we're asking
out.
For a higher standard from the building than we are from the on the city road.
I'll move on to the next item, Councilor, Mr. Chairman. The next item talks about the... I already dealt with the 40 feet landscape, natural landscaping area earlier, which we are in agreement except with one exception. Second item is the east side. And the third item is along Bison Drive. Along Bison Drive, we have been asked, our client has been asked to undertake improvement to create a 1.5 meter, that's Plato. But we have been asked to contribute the cost equivalent to our frontage along Bison Drive for a pathway. But if maybe I can be educated a little bit, I couldn't get any answer prior to the meeting on site. There are three very typical signs, except I couldn't stand on Bison Drive to take the picture of that sign. I took the spot of the sign. So it's here, which is fairly common and typical where new asphaltic pathway is being constructed within the city of Winnipeg and Calgary, Vancouver. They all have the same sign, which is the federal stimulus plan. It appears the pathway already been planned, budget for, and funding appear to be assigned for. Otherwise, there shouldn't be any poster or sign being located on site right in front of the set property, subject property. And if that's the case, what we are asking, in combination with the 10% dedication, consider asking the committee to consider a fixed contribution from a developer to help out pay for the path as part of the 10% dedication fee, rather than we're getting hit on 10% dedication fee, build me the path, give me the land, but you have to build the path up to 3.5 meter plus the landscaping. And then another item to follow. That's the suggestion we are asking the committee to consider.
Okay.
The last item that I'd like to bring up for your consideration, sir, is Plato. Now we're being asked to finish up the land allowance for possible future extension of Plato. That's the lot, that's the city land area, vacant land. We, based on your site plan as part of the report, shows a pathway to the west side of Plato. On your Schedule A, page 23, The pathway is shown on the west side of Plato within the city property.
Actually,
Which clause is this?
Number 3 under servicing agreement.
Okay. On page 25, the clause is, the developer shall at no expense of the city undertake improvements.
Under service agreement, under Schedule C, Schedule B, Item C, Point 3, the developer shall at no expense of the city undertake improvement in association with servicing work within the Plato right-of-way to provide a pathway connection from planted area to the residential properties to the south. The improvement shall include construction of a 1.5-meter concrete pathway, landscaping of balance of the right-of-way with sod, shrubs, and trees, and grading and land drainage associated with this improvement, all in according with drawings submitted for approval by and to the satisfaction of the Director of Public Works.
Okay.
We found doing a pathway and doing part of the work at the City of Winnipeg land, that's not what we asked for. Why am I being asked for cost to construct and improve a local area that has nothing to do with the proposed development and connecting to somebody else's property to the west, which is the existing superstore? We can understand the requirement of connectivity for the pathway along Bison and possibly a portion of the rationale along the east side to widen it up to the City of Winnipeg standard. But why are we being asked to do the connection to Superstore site for the residents on the south side? It just begs a discussion. And going back to the 40-foot natural landscaping, I have taken some interesting photographs just for some of the council who may not have seen the site or context more in detail. Some of the photographs identify what is happening to the south side of Superstore, how the 40 feet of landscaping area has been respected. A lot of them has been trimmed down, cut down, removed.
Sure.
Existing landscaping, the natural landscaping plot that was to the south of the existing superstore, where the fence was built, where natural landscaping was kept before, how it was removed on the south side of the fence, which is approximately 46 feet from the south of the property set up. In accordance to the survey plan within the set property, this is what is existing on site. This is what we have agreed in attempt to maintain them for 40 feet.
You guys are camera happy out there.
We might as well spend the quality time. For our client interest, since the administration is also participating in this particular meeting, this is a photograph to the north side of Mosaic. We'd like to know, based on previous rezoning application, were they required to create that pathway? Is there any improvement going to take place along the north side of Mosaic? It's really just a question. Just for our point of interest.
Okay, we will possibly broach those questions later. Do you have anything more in your presentation?
Now I can jump in now that I have commented on the report by the administration. And to give some of the council here who may not have seen this, allow me a couple of minutes to go through what we're proposing to do.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. The proposal is relatively simple, straightforward. It's a 6.3-acre site entirely. Our client had made an additional offer to Cambrian, subject to all your approval and closing. Cambrian is keeping 1 acre of land area.
and they're doing the branch with the drive-through facility. Currently, the building is under construction. What we're proposing to do is first subdivide the lot into three separate lots, and part of it will be part of the variance application that the planners report is in support of. Because of the limitation access on Bison, there's no more approach can be allowed along Bison Drive. All people over here, doesn't matter what we're developing or where we're going to develop the site, this is your only access point. So one of the variance applications that we have applied for is allow no direct access to the street front, allow that variance to happen, to rely on caveat easement agreement among the three lots to commonly enjoy the common access point off the existing access road coming off southbound on Bison Drive. The proposal is two phases. Phase one will happen on lot two, which is a proposed residential rental facility. Our client has done one fairly successful one, has changed hands a few times already, which is the Chancellor Gate just to the west of Earl's on Pembina Highway, about 5-6 years ago. That was probably one of the first rental building, brand new rental building being built in decades. That was brand new rental. And since has been sold two or three times, now it becomes a condominium rental facility. We're intending, the developer is intending to build medium range to higher medium range rental over here to facilitate people that work on campus, work in the hospital. There's very, very little new residential development in the South Pembina Highway area, very few. There's a couple happened condominiums further south in the St. Norbert area, but within the Pembina Strip to the north of Perimeter, there's hardly any being built. And we see the demand happening over here with the campus growing, with the Southwick Golf Course having future development. This is the part of the city that will have synergy, but people need a place to live. And vacancy rate, we have people that come into the city, work in the city now from the States, they could not find decent rental. They could not. They're just not available. So what we're intending to do over here is upper to higher middle range rental. This is not subsidized housing or low rent, high density family housing. This is similar quality as what we have seen over at Chancellor Gate. That potentially, with that type of quality, put Chancellor Gate without renovation actually flip into a condominium. So it gives you that idea what the quality of the building can be. It will be one level underground parking, and the rest of them will be on-service parking. The whole idea is to maximize the land use for soft landscaping, reduce the total amount of parking required on site. So you don't see the parking, the whole 150% of parking all being crowded over the site. Second building follows the same concept along Bison Drive.
How many stories is the first building?
The first building proposes 4-story, 55 feet maximum height.
And the whole structure is 4 stories?
Whole structure 4-story, plus a one level underground parking. You don't see the underground.
So it's actual underground, it's not at grade?
No.
So it's only 4 stories above
grade? 4-story above grade, yes. Yes, sir. And the next building, Building B, is proposed to be a 7-story building, which to the immediate east of the proposed site is a 6 and a 7-story building. And the distance, based on the planner's report, can range from 100 feet to 150 feet apart, which is not uncommon in a lot of suburban locations as cited by the planner's report. There's a lot of plenty of those examples in the city in terms of distance between multifamily housing projects. The biggest bonus on this particular site is we are on the north side of single-family housing. So the building itself will not take away or cast big, tall shadow onto the single-family housing, meaning no shade in the backyard, other than the natural landscaping that will create the shade itself. That's really all the presentation I have for you, sir.
These are apartments here, building?
Yes. Rental, upper middle range.
So why What's the impact of that on the Mosaic condos to the east?
Depends on if you're talking about shadow or view or...
Compared to what you could normally do there, with it, like, you know, under the C3 zoning, you can go, I think, at 50 feet?
49 feet? 49 feet.
And the setback on C3 is what is?
Depends on how you look at it. It's a side yard, zero.
Zero yard. You can build a 49 feet hotel right up to this line.
Under the current zoning?
Under the current zoning.
Before we continue, clarify the Mosaic building. That's how close to the east, right there. Is that six-story building you talked about?
It's over here.
There's two buildings there, Dan.
There's one here and a second one down here.
Sorry, I don't have a picture of that particular building.
There's two high-rise buildings sitting here adjacent to the back. Like there's a 60-some-odd feet of asphalt park here, the earlier photograph that I've shown you. So when you take the 60 feet to the building, we have on top, we have 9-meter setback, which is roughly 30 feet, roughly 30 feet. At the very end of the year, so you have 90-some-odd feet to the first block of the building. And then the balance of the wing is set back another 60 feet. So 60 and 60, 120 minimum, plus some of the front yard that we're creating, a privacy yard that we're creating internally. So it's reflect what the planner's report has suggested. We are almost 150 feet away.
Questions, Councilor Schoenbach?
I need to get my head around the size and what's permitted there, that's all.
Are there any questions? I'll wait to hear from the folks.
There'll be more at the end in the rebuttal than now, I'm sure.
Anything you want to add?
Alan, do you have anything you want to add? I'm sorry.
You are?
Sorry. Alan Barotkin, the Dynasty Group. Thank you. I just have a question for Ray, and I won't make a presentation.
Wait for that. I'll do it now. I'll do it.
Thank you.
What my client had reminded me and skipped my mind is earlier in my presentation, I talked about the 10% dedication fee versus the cost to do the Bison Drive pathway and so on. Since we will not be the party involved in terms of timing or design of the pathway, with the exhibit showing the sign show up on this site, without challenging it, without questioning it, our client is proposing an approach of a fixed contribution cost, because you can't ask the developer. It's not quite appropriate to ask the developer and say, you commit to something, but I don't know when I'm going to do it, and I don't have a spec for how am I going to do it yet at this point. For a current cost of the asphaltic pathway is quoted roughly about $195 per lineal meter. $195 per lineal meter. I believe that's some of the existing costs, the current running cost for some of the city winners. What we are proposing based on the subject rezoned property, this is 109 meters long of land area that require rezoning. It's approximately 109 meters long along Bison Drive. I'm not including Cambrian, because Cambrian is a permitted use under the current bylaw. The rezoning do not apply to Cambrian. Cambrian is roughly about 68.4 meters wide. Our client is proposing a fixed amount of contribution for, in lieu of the 10% dedication fee, and the pathway is proposing a $35,000 fixed contribution cost, which translates to, with inflation, you can build $195 per lineal meter for the next 5 years.
Okay.
Thank you. That's what I have at this point, and I look forward to some more questions.
You've addressed the subdivision, the rezoning, and the variance all at once. Nothing more you need to add on the variance?
The variance is based on the planner's report. They are only supporting one of the application.
which is the no front yard.
No front address, no front address. Street.
No access to public road.
Public road.
Okay.
All the other minor variances we can deal with from a final design perspective, based on our discussion with the planner. The only gray area that will bring up on the variances is if the widening of the asphalted pathway along the east side, whatever that width is required, where does that 1.5 meter start in terms of setback? If I'm giving up the land for the pathway, there's a requirement of 1.524 east side yard, where the parking is shown at 0.6 meter right now. Does that 1.524 meter requirement as an east setback within that whatever meter I'm going to give you as land contribution for the widening of the pathway? Or do I start with the actual property line before I give you the land? That's just a technical question that we have to resolve.
Just to be clear here, Ray, that line that's down the east side, the heavy black line, is that the actual property line?
This is our property line right now, lot 3.
Okay, so if you have to expand it by 1.5 meters, do you lose that parking?
Yes.
Then you would need a variance for parking.
I have to move things over. There's
nowhere to go.
You can always redesign, right? It's just what the condition is, I just have to work with it.
Okay.
One more question for Raymond.
Not until after you speak to the rest of the people.
Sum up and address the issues that have been brought up. We have two people in support. Alan Sorotkin, register your support. Thank you, Alan, and Susan Russell. Okay. Thank you, Susan. We have about counselors. I really have to make a quick call. So can I suggest we break for 1 minute so I can make this call and come back and hear the people in opposition?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. We'll break for 1 minute.
Where's the MPI building? Justin.
What's that?
Where's MPI building?
MPI is over here.
And this is the
this
triangle.
This is the mosaics right here. Seldom get more than one train a day down that line.
It was bringing in steel, I guess, for the Human Rights Museum. It was 45 minutes long. It was crazy.
How many people out of that to be okay?
We'll get us out of here and the chamber.
We'll be fine.
And you put a cap on it, not have a nice amount of noise.
That's right. Side the mic.
Well, in the US, if you're wide enough. have, we require
okay, I can remember that.
It's already 2 feet shorter, and this section of lead and be on the other side of bond.
We're not touching lead at all. We're not going on to lead. We're not relying on this.
$500 of cords, my instead of yours. I was questioning why they really wanted to move past the Rallis to UK. They got a couple hundred people in there, I think.
Seriously?
50 anyway. The whole inside of the gallery is full. There's people waiting.
We all drive this out.
That's WK.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 5 applications.
Oh. So we're calling them back to order.
Maybe it was making us a
We have about 20, 25 delegations. So the first delegation is John and Alin Keller. John and Alin Keller.
So just a reminder, folks, if you registered your opposition, and actually on top of that, we've received a number of submissions in writing that have been filed as exhibits that were circulated to the councillors. Now, I'll remind you that when your name is called, this is your chance to get up and speak. You don't have to. And in particular, if somebody's brought up a point that you're going to make in a future presentation, it's already been brought up, don't repeat yourselves. We limit presentations to 10 minutes apiece with some leeway from the committee. But again, if you have something new to add, please come forward. And
spokesperson.
If there is a spokesperson for the group, sometimes it's easier if that person comes forward first. And I'm not sure if there is a spokesperson or if there's more than one, so you may want to do that as well.
Nobody's jumping up as a spokesperson.
I don't see anybody looking their hands.
We'll go through all the names.
Oh, there's one gentleman here.
I guess I'm the spokesperson for the first of the group.
Okay.
In actual fact, what we did was we encouraged our union their own minds. So, in actual fact, I'd like to
do this
process.
Fine.
Sure.
Okay, well, everyone here is registered in opposition, so I'll go through the list. As Mark said, this is your time to come to the table, state your concerns. You don't have to use up all the 10 minutes, otherwise we'll be here until 10:30. Your concerns, and then the councillors will ask you questions.
John and Alin, don't see me. You're to go first. Come on up. We don't bite. We just need the information. Well, you got to come up where we can record you for the record, please.
Or you can just register your opposition. You don't have to speak. But
we've got a pretty good deal, a good letter from you. But
yeah,
maybe just sit down and let's hear it from you. And
well, we're just a little bit.
Have a seat, please.
Deep breath, relax.
Don't worry, I've had a few already. Deep breaths.
Welcome.
Thank you. We're just a little bit concerned about the place. We'd like to see there would be a little more commercial instead of residential, because we feel that it's going to be quite congested in the area with
with us living on the west side of the Mosaic, looking at another building, just looking at a parking lot. And that's one of the things. I always thought there would be a very good place for it to have some commercial, like either strip malls or that type of...
or even buildings, but maybe not higher than what we are. Because we're on the sixth floor. We have the corner southwest corner. And we have all the sun in the afternoon, and we have the sunset at night. And we took our time to pick that corner, and because I also have arthritis, and that's therapeutic. I like to sit on my deck. And if that happens, then that's going to be gone. And I'm not like we're, you know, we've tried to, you know, make it where it would work for everybody. I mean, I know it's an empty lot and something's going to come up there sooner or later. But we're just a little concerned because we're right there.
We were also always told that it was commercial land, so yeah. Not residential land. And that was one of the reasons why we chose to buy there, because we didn't figure that there was going to be any high rises going up there.
Ask this question, because we're going to go through this, and I want to make sure you get a chance to put the information on the table. If we decide to do something that allowed us to go ahead today, there was the conversation about the strip between where the walkway is. Do you have any comments on that, whether it should be a wider walkway, or does that have any impact on you whatsoever?
The walkway that's there?
Yeah.
Well, we look at that walkway, it's off our balcony.
Yeah.
And the way it looks here, then after that, it's going to be another parking lot.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No. I think that's a pretty common theme we're going to hear, I think.
Okay. Karen and Anthony Sidley, you can come up and speak, or you can register your opposition.
We have something in writing from the cities as well.
We have
something in writing from McCarran and Anthony as well.
Yes. I'm opposed to, mainly because we look out into the parking lot and we like the sunshine. My husband is disabled and he lays in bed and watches out there, and that building would be too high. That's all he would see. And as for that pathway, he has a scooter, so if someone was to pass him, I guess it should be wide. I don't know how wide, but...
Well, I mean, you know, it's the big dilemma we have is what you can do there now under commercial. You know, you can build a 50-foot building pretty well right up to the property line without any public hearing whatsoever. And so the dilemma we have is you've got the opportunity to put a parking lot in between the building now and look at this application and see what's there that might be better than what else might come down the pipe. So that's, you know, I'm just trying to get a sense from people what they like, what they don't like. And if there's anything here that we should be having some detailed discussions about.
Well, that's just about it. The sun, we like the sunshine coming in and a view of more than a brick building.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Next delegation is, or person registered in opposition is Aya Ajit. Place, do you want to come up now, Mr. Place?
Sure. It's Clay and Carol Kemp.
Clay and Carol Kemp, well, you're next.
Oh, this is Clay?
Yes.
Hi, Clay.
You've received my submission. Do I need to read it over to you, or?
Well, no, Clay, maybe I can just ask you a couple of questions. Your big issue was the...
Buffer.
The buffer?
The buffer, yes.
You heard what Mr. Wan said about the buffer?
Yes.
Have any comments on it as far as it staying there? The one bump into it at the...
our end.
Right at the westerly end.
The 30 little...
That's our property.
That's where we are.
So
and how is that going to look? Like it's going to go 40 feet and how is that come in? Like how is that going to jut? Like...
Well, let's put it on the record. They get a chance to come up and rebut at the end to answer any of these questions. So you want to know what the aesthetics of that...
Okay, in 1998, we were my wife and I were representatives of the landowners on the north side of Lee, backing on there. So we were approached by the city, John Angus, and the CEO from Loblaws. And they told us to give them conditions upon which we could agree with the development of a superstore. So we requested from Barnes Street to Shore Street an 8-foot-high cedar fence, and inside that cedar fence, spruce trees sprinkled throughout. And we've had that since then, and you know we have the privacy, we have the security, we have the green space. Some of us have developed inside the fence gardens, you know. So there's a considerable amount of money that has been spent on some property. Some people have brought in mature trees. There are mature trees there that we do not want bulldozed for the sake of a parking lot or whatever. So we're very strongly opposed to any discrepancy in that buffer. We want that buffer to run from Barnes Street to the west to Shore Street on the east. And that includes, at the east end, there's a section of fence here that never did get completed, and right now there are four new homes being constructed. And I'm sure they're going to be asking someday, why was that fence never completed to Shore Street and the spruce trees sprinkled along there? I'm not sure. That was between Loblaws and the city, but I digress. We feel very strongly about the buffer staying as is. We were pleased to see the city report supporting that, and we would like to that buffer to remain intact, no indentations anywhere, and
we're not necessarily opposed to the building.
I understand where you guys are coming from. I don't know where that bump is relative to where you guys are and who it directly impacts. Well, that's why I wanted you guys.
It's very close to the edge of our property because that's where it starts. So it just seems hilarious, but it just doesn't make sense.
The gentleman just finished saying
that he can redesign because he has to move the parking lot on this side. So redesign this edge so there's not a little 30 foot less on one property. Like, I mean, we just heard him say it in the presentation. I can redesign
that. That's what we can go back to with it at the end. If we're going to allow any sort of thing to happen when he comes up and rebuttal, he can speak to that.
But we're not opposed to, we know something has to go there. I mean, we're not opposed to the apartments per se. It doesn't really affect us. But having those trees and the fence there definitely is going to help. And bulldozing those trees with all the carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, which is even, you know, So we were just talking about that as neighbors. And so that's another issue, too. So those trees are just great. And we've done a fair amount of development. We've been there the longest, I think. We're what you call the pioneers of Libra. So we have a lot of mature trees there. We've planted a lot more trees. And I don't know, he was showing pictures. I guess he was showing on the south side of the property. I guess he wasn't showing the property.
I think he's further down. The pictures he had were way further down by the superstore, not right along this piece here.
But anyway, you're welcome to see what we've done with our backyard. It's wonderful. So it would really be terrible if some of that was taken away from us.
Just one final comment. We were quite concerned that Dynasty Group felt that through a rezoning change, they could circumvent the 1998 bylaw that Loblaws and the city were adamant that we had at the time. And we were led to believe that this buffer with the 8-foot-high fence, and the green space was going to be very long-term. No numbers were put on it, but we were led to believe it would be a long time. So 12 years is not a very long time.
Okay. And I think you can see the consistency with the administration recommending that the 40-foot buffer be maintained.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Well done.
In opposition, Arsenio Bernardo.
Most of my concerns were already expressed. I just can emphasize.
Where do you live?
At Mosaic, room 300, suite 300. Okay. When I bought my condo, I'm expecting a better quality of life than living in downtown or Osborne Village, where there's so much density there. I know there will be development there. I know there will be a development there,
yeah.
But I did not expect a residential, an apartment building of 5 stories high, 6 stories high. I was expecting a strip mall kind of development, so that our quality of life is still going to be enhanced. There will be a wide open view, and that's all my concern.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Recorder in opposition, Kitty Lang.
Isn't she a city?
Address the record?
Lee Leong, Suite 205. I think I've sent in a letter, right? An email, I think.
Yes, we probably haven't seen it.
It's probably one of these. I've got a number, okay. They all say pretty well the same thing, so they're.
Okay. Anyways, I apologize. I wasn't at the very first of the presentation by Mr. Wong. So I never seen this before, and the only piece of information I received was this, which is completely different from what's here. Okay. So, anyways, I apologize. I wasn't informed about the very first presentation. The timing of the presentation I think was in July 22nd, which is summer month, and I'm sure there's a lot of residents who can make it to this presentation that was provided. From what I gather, not enough information was provided at that time. So in terms of for anybody to make an informed decision, not until now, we're able to see, or even today as of 11 o'clock, I think there was a minutes posted and reports being posted, that I can see what's being done. I think it's unfair for some of the owners to even consider, to even absorb all these details. I don't know if a decision can be made just by looking at this, sitting at this time. I'm hoping there may be some other consultation between the developer and the architecture with the residents. I mean, I can see the mosaic. I don't know if there's fully answer whether the shadowing would be affected. And obviously, a lot of the residents has an issue. The shadowing is affecting their view. That still hasn't been addressed. And the buffer zone between the two lots, from looking at the picture and measuring, 120 feet sounds like a lot, but when you're looking on site, looking at somebody's balcony, it's very different. Okay, so these are my concern, and I hope you can, take that into consideration. And
okay. Thank you. Any questions?
No, they're all going to be similar concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. In opposition, Eric Funk.
Eric, maybe just tell us where you live.
I live in Mosaic in the North Phase. I'm not completely opposed to the project itself, as many are, just a decision at this time. We're listening to the presentation here. This is the first time they have had to get a chance to see pictures like this, and I'm now somewhat more comforted by Mr. Wan's presentation. My opinion on the idea of he doesn't have to expand the walkway on his side to be at 5 meters, and the green space, I think, would help the the visual impact of this new project. I think that would be a good thing.
Visual separation.
Yeah, if he has, can put some green space in here so we don't just have bare parking lots. Look, that would make it a little better. The previous person said, some more information sessions would really help to ease people I know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. In opposition, Connie Dame. You could come down there and register your opposition.
With Kitty and all the rest, all we ask if you can please postpone your decision because this is our first information. We tried to contact a couple of us to the Dynasty Group to approach us and set up a meeting. We never got no return phone calls. So all we ask, we're not against the building, but it's so that we can understand it better and, I guess, of course, the shadow onto our building.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Charles Littman.
Charles Littman, 504 Forty Shore Street. Actually, what most of what I have to say has been said already. It's really just a question of, this is the first time I've seen any detailed presentation as to what is proposed. And while I agree that there is need of quality housing in the south end of the city, there are some concerns which are raised looking at this as far as the orientation of the building versus the mosaic. The balconies, it appears to me, will be looking directly at each other. And the concept of 30 metres is still something that is a figure which I can't quite... for instance, looking across at the other end of the building, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Obviously, privacy is an issue with a residential unit looking directly into your balcony, whereas with a commercial development, people will be leaving in the evening to go home, and that's not the same kind of concern. I mean, obviously, residential versus commercial, at 5 o'clock, commercial people are leaving, and at 5 o'clock, the residential people are coming back home. So that's another concern. So it really what I'm saying, I suppose, is I agree that we need more units in the city, but I think that to make a decision tonight would almost be too hasty, and I would ask that this may be deferred until the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Charles. Recorder in opposition, Jared Falk.
Jared Falk, I live at 379 Churchill Drive. I own number 609 60 Short Street, so west side of the building. Basically, I'm in opposition. I wanted to find out more information about what was going on. I had very little information to date. I guess my concerns, like some other people before me, we purchased the unit on the west side of the building for the views. The commercial zoning that was there was part of our decision-making process. While we don't live in the unit, we do provide housing on a rental basis, and we want to provide the best quality of enjoyment of that unit that we can. And I guess 7 stories would definitely block our view significantly. The balconies facing directly is not ideal either for privacy issues, of course. And both of these things would contribute to maybe harming the value of the property that we are now in as well. So a little concerns.
Thank you, Jared. Brian Hansen. Name and address, please, for the record.
Yes, my name is Brian Hansen. I own 708 Phase 1 in the Mosaic. I've written to Mr. Swantendell, pardon me, a letter which you probably have on file. Just a couple of points I'd like to bring to Council's attention. One of them is self-evident. Myself and the people over here that are in opposition, our residents are owners. the people that are in support are either the consultant to the developer or the landscape architect for the developer or the developer himself. So, you know, you have people who live or own these things versus people who, it's a business. My concern is here, and I give Mr. Wan credit. He's trying to develop a buffer here for the people that own property along Lee Boulevard. I chose to spend my $300,000 in one of these units versus spending $300,000 on a house. That doesn't make me any less of an owner than the people with a house. All the consideration has been given to the people along Lee Boulevard for a buffer. Those of us in the Mosaic don't get the same consideration for a buffer, which means that all the units that are along here facing out here are at some point going to be, as the previous speaker said, looking out here just as if we were looking out at this other part of City Hall over here. There is going to be very little privacy. You know, the consideration was given here to keep this building at four stories, right? These are going to be seven stories, I assume. That will be pretty much a mirror of the Mosaic, so that everybody looking out, either the people that buy into this building or the people that are already existing in the Mosaic, will be looking out at each other. So there's not only the shadow effect, there's the privacy effect. The other thing is, you know, if you put two buildings like this, you're creating a concrete canyon. I mean, I visited Vancouver. I'm sure all of you people have visited Vancouver. There's nothing but concrete canyons in Vancouver. And you put two seven-story buildings in like that, I mean, what benefit is it to anybody other than maximizing the density of occupation? You know, I recognize that developing land is a little bit the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. This, I guess, is the devil I know, but I'm almost prepared to say to council, I think I would prefer the devil I don't know, i.e., commercial, versus the proposal here for multi-residential usage. With commercial, the maximum we could get would be 49 feet. And I know looking out on a bonded roof is no great shakes, but at least it would only be a bonded roof that's 49 feet tall. It wouldn't be 75 feet tall. Now, could I support this in any way, shape, or form? I guess so. Providing this was shifted somewhere on the lot or moved or reduced in size or somehow modified so that it doesn't impact on my enjoyment of my unit in the Mosaic. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Evan Hansen.
I wish to speak.
Thank you. Registered in opposition. In opposition, David Lowe.
Hi there. As you can see, a few of our residents are a little reluctant to speak. This is not a usual occurrence for them. Even for myself, this is the first time that I've ever been here or experienced this process.
I'm the address of the record, David.
I'm 540 Shore, and I'm president of the condominium association, so or corporation in actual fact. So, you know, as I reflect on this, I reflect both in terms of how it's affecting me as a unit owner, but also in the representation that the board has of the owners and residents of the Mosaic. And, you know, as we stopped and we thought about it, there's potentially a number of impacts to us, and that is that the increased density is going to have more congestion on Barnes and Bison, just by that many additional residents. We've got Waverly West to the just to the west of us. As many of the residents have already said, it's going to obliterate the sunset view for virtually all of the residents on the west side of the building. We've got 118 residents, and as a matter of fact, you know, when we went to, there was an information session held on July the 22nd, it was clearly pointed out to us that it wasn't open for debate, it wasn't community consultation. There has been no community consultation. And that's at minimum what we hope you'll decide tonight, that there should be formal consultation, in particular with the owners at the Mosaic, prior to anything proceeding. As we look at the development, when we went to this information session, and, you know, looking at a blank lot that has rubble piled up in it and so on, we certainly have the impression that it could be better than it currently is. And when we first went to the information session and, you know, we started to see the limited insight that we were given to the project, it was mentioned by Mr. Wan that they were going to do this buffer zone. We didn't realize at that point in time that this was a buffer zone that was, for some residents, entrenched for some longer period of time. And when I left the meeting, I counted out the number of lots that were adjacent to this development. It was 5 lots. And there's 118 residents at the Mosaic. It was 5 lots that were impacted by this, and they were willing to do this very nice buffer zone. And at the meeting, I asked a couple of things. And I asked whether, you know, the heavier orientation in terms of the population on the site overall couldn't be with this building. And the impression that we were left with was that was not something that could be altered or changed. We weren't left with the impression of this building here at all. And one of the other questions that I asked was, what if they were doing this magnanimous gesture in terms of the buffer zone at the south side of their property, whether they would do something similar on the side facing the Mosaic. As I was trying to get a sense earlier of, when you put our 2 parking lots together, what it would be like. And I guess when I get up in the morning and throw open my window at the west side of the Mosaic and I look across, we're going to be looking in the windows just across the street there. In actual fact, you know, the thing that disturbs me a little bit is if you take a look at this variance, and we tried to get a sense of this document. As a matter of fact, I actually did get to see this document, not to read it, at about 15 minutes to 5 tonight. I printed it off. We searched for it. Didn't appear to be available. I don't know how soon it was posted up on the site. But what? Interestingly enough,
when was the report posted?
Thursday.
Thursday?
You know, I don't know whether it's the search capability on the site, whatever. The only thing that we've sort of had is this, and the plan that just laid out the lots, not the building and the orientation of the cars and so on. But I think that there was a very foretelling item in here which would raise some concern. One of the points in here, and I don't know how to quote that Article 6, Item 4.
Are you in the variance or in the rezoning application?
This page.
What does it say at the top?
That page there.
Take the glasses off of the variance.
Okay. If we take a look at that, I mean, one of the things that would concern us is, and without going into huge detail related to this, but it says here, for the establishment of an accessory parking area on the proposed lot, an east side yard, so I assume that that's this area here, they're requesting that it be 1.9 feet instead of 5 feet. So right there portrays the intent and so on. So what, at a bare minimum, we would like to, we'd like to see, you know, something comparable to what they're willing to do for the other folks.
I'm not going to argue with you, just so you know. The 40-foot buffer is already in place under the existing zoning on the other side. It's not uncommon to ask for parking to encroach in a set. It's considered a structure, so you have to get the variance for it, but it's not uncommon to ask for it. Actually, I think the Mosaic has a 0 setback variance on that, on what would be your west yard. So, it's not uncommon.
But our folks are there on their residence at the present time. And the point that's been made by a number of people is that everyone who went in there went in on the basis that it was going to be a commercial property on that side. You know, if there were some changes, if there was some consultation with the with our community, which there hasn't been, and if there were some fundamental changes, you've already heard from a number of the residents that they might actually be in favor of it. So it's going to obliterate the viewpoint. It's going to decrease the privacy for the residents in the area. The other thing that it's going to do, though, and I suppose this is a nasty thing to say, but for a window of time, it's going to decrease the value of the units at the Mosaic. So it's actually, you know, it just law of supply and demand is going to indicate that our property values are going to be decreased for a period of time. One of the things that was also interesting was we had heard that if this zoning goes through, they're allowed up to 10 stories. That's what we heard. We don't know. We haven't had a public consultation meeting.
Just the RMU zoning they're applying for allows up to 100 feet, I believe it is. But our planners have put a condition on it at, I think, 75 feet or whatever the required number to gain the...
My wife talked to somebody this afternoon, and they indicated that it was this second building over here was going to be six stories, and Mr. Nguyen in his presentation just a few minutes ago said it was going to be seven stories. We don't know what it's going to be. There hasn't been consultation with the area. Our residents have not had an opportunity to see the plan and what it's going to look like, and we would ask at a minimum that the project be deferred so that we could be properly consulted. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We will check that out with the applicants. Curtis Michalik.
Correct the pronunciation when you get up, please.
That's Michalik.
So you got to get damn fast. It's on the right salam.
Address, please.
130 Shore Street. I live in the homes a little further down Shore Street, so I can't really express same concerns as some of the people in the Mosaic condo. But we'll mention when I bought my house, I was under the pressure. I was aware that the Mosaic was going up, but I was also under the pressure that the rest was still commercial. I heard mentioned by the developer that one of the reasons for this is a lack of housing in the south end of the city, but I was always under the impression that's what Waverly West was starting to address. There is condos and that going up in Bridgeford Forest now and stuff along those ways as well. My ultimate concern, though, is with parking. With these being rentals and being so close to the university, no matter how you say it, there's going to be more than one person, several kids living in one apartment for affordability, and obviously that likely means they have more cars and more people visiting on the weekends and stuff along those lines. People who live on Lee and Shore already have cars parked in front of our house most evenings from Mosaic condos. None of these people here, of course, but that is my ultimate concern with the parking. I believe it was addressed that the traffic would not be coming down Lee, but there was talk of on Plateau. I don't know if it's called a road or not, Plateau, with the Plato. Walk. Plato with the
little empty strip.
Yeah.
It's just a right-of-way.
Which would be developed as a walkway, which is fine, but what that leads to is people parking on Lee and walking through the walkway and visiting their friends in the apartment buildings. And that's leads to the concern of parking again. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you,
Chris. Okay, Sally Downs.
Concerns have been raised already.
Thank you, Sally. Vince Bucci.
Is another pronunciation repair requested? Is there Vince?
Vince.
No, no, he had to leave.
BUCCI, in opposition?
He had to leave.
Okay. Cynthia Nickerson, in opposition? Cynthia Nickerson? Okay, come on up. If you can. Please state your address for the record.
Complex. One closer to Bison.
Right. I actually face Bison. I guess my concern is, I'm not really sure I understand all of this, but I do understand people's concern about the shadowing and all that. I don't know if any of you have seen Barnes, but it's like a back lane, really. It's not even a street. It's like Markham Road ends and Barnes starts in the residential area. And I really agree with these people when they say that the congestion would just be unbelievable.
I'm not sure you understand where they're coming
maybe
in.
Maybe I don't. Yeah.
Just to help you out here, this is the Superstore entrance here.
Right.
It's not Barnes. Barnes is over here.
Okay.
So this is the Superstore entrance here. That's mm-hmm. what they said at the beginning. Is that they wouldn't let traffic come down. They wouldn't have access.
So how would they access the apartment and the condominium complex then?
Well, when Mr. Wan comes up, I don't want to be answering his questions, but there's a point of access off of the existing Superstore site that's sort of about halfway up there, the gray lines.
And I just have concerns about, I know that they say that the apartment and all that will be of a certain quality or a certain... I guess I don't understand this process, and I just want to know when it's put in writing. Is it very specific? Like, what if he turns around and becomes a slum landlord or something? What guarantees do we have that the quality of the apartment is going to be, in keeping with the condominium? And I, even though it doesn't directly affect me, I think it does because I own the condo, and I think anything that starts to encroach on light on a building and view starts to make prices go down. And I understand his investment is huge, and mine is just a little investment, but I understand money just from my investment. So anyways, for what it's worth, I'm here, and I have some concerns. So I'd just like to find out more as well. So
appreciate the comments.
Armeet Kaur and Ingad Singh Gill.
Yeah.
You're both registered in opposition?
Don't waste this opportunity for public speaking.
We live on 1075 Lee Boulevard. We're actually next door neighbors to Jim. Yeah. I just think that we've already got a condo that is built, and it's like I can see it from my garden. Anybody who lives there can see into my garden as well. And adding more big, massive towers into that area would just be a bit too intense. So I reckon that it's something to be like thought about, the fact that instead of having big, massive condos and apartments built there, we should have extended to like more housing available, like make into like a bigger neighborhood, I don't know, instead of having commercial as well, because even if you have commercial, you'll have more traffic noise, you'll have people shouting, screaming, and stuff like that. So I personally just think that it'd be best for just to have housing put there then instead of
a park.
Oh, well, park, yeah.
Because unfortunately, we have to live in the situation where it's already zoned as commercial, so we're not quite at the park stage yet. So
no, even a park would be good because there's no big park near that area, so a park would be perfect.
Okay.
My major concern at the moment is, like we said before, smoke is a big issue there. A lot of traffic, a lot of trucks going to Superstore. In the morning when you get up, you can smell smoke already, right? And if there is more traffic, more cars moving around, apartments being made, and if our area is, the fence is going to go back, and that's going to affect there would be more smoke. There would be more
pollution. You know,
pollution.
Noise pollution.
Noise pollution, and privacy is also affected as well. That's my major concern. Thank you very much.
Janice Lowe, in opposition.
Janice submitted in writing too.
My home is at 540 Shore. And we have a letter from I think Mr. Hanson probably expressed most of my concerns. When we sold our home and invested here as our home, we did expect that it would be probably low-rise strip mall commercial there, which not only would have been fine in terms of the view or the environmental change to the building, but would have also given us more services within walking distance, and that would have been fine. We enjoy the fact that we can walk to services on Pembina and to Superstore and now to the forth. But having that tower oriented directly in front of the building, I think, is going to be very, very adverse. So I think our concern is, firstly, I would prefer that it wasn't residential. It was back to the commercial. And if that is impossible, then I think the orientation and height of that particular building really needs to be changed. If it was a lot lower or at the other end of the Bison Tower, perhaps, and then, you know, Cambrian Credit Union could enjoy it instead of the residents of the city. But I think that is really going to ruin the investment of all of the people in the mosaic. I think some consideration for the number of homeowners in the mosaic really needs to be given.
Thank you, Janice.
Thank you, Janice. Matthew Lowe. Chris, please.
240 Shore Street. I'm a west-facing unit, so it doesn't directly affect me, but in the pocket, I think it would. Because my potential rental income or my potential sale, property values, things like this, I feel are going to be lowered by the proposed development. Also, you know, this is the first time that I've had an opportunity to kind of realize what's going to be happening, and just the timing of this, I think, has happened really quickly and without enough preparation for people that live in the area. I also think that, with all due respect, I'm not sure that the development of these buildings was really thought out that well to maximize potentially his profits, the developer's profits, and keep the continuity of the area kind of the same as where it is or where I think it should be. I lived in this area since I was born, 25 years, and really familiar with the entire area and kind of the way things work, and it doesn't seem like this really works well with the way things are now. I'm really concerned that the building being situated beside the mosaic here in particular is going to be the most adverse effect to property value and to the views and things like that. Now, I'm the I'm on the board of directors at the condo, at the Mosaic condo building, and I'm not only speaking for myself, but also just kind of raising concerns about the 118 owners and potentially the 100 to 200 to 300 renters or residents that are in the building as well. So this becomes not only just owners, but also the people that are living there as well are going to be affected by this, potentially in the few hundred people range. And the overall sense that I've gotten from the people that live there are, you know, really just unsure, trying to get a better understanding of what's going to be there. There hasn't really been any information. I've attempted to contact Dynasty Group and haven't had any return phone calls. So we really not only are worried about what's going to be put in there, but don't know, don't have enough information about exactly what they're planning, There's no artist renderings of the actual buildings themselves. We don't have an idea of the money that's going to be spent on it, what it's going to look like, you know, what it potentially could mean for us at all. So we were all kind of sold on the fact that this was going to be a commercial development beside us, which is what we were kind of happy and more willing to purchase in because of, I think, in my own opinion, anyway. And this is not something that's really impressing me that much. I'm really worried about the extra competition in the market as well as in the rental market. So that's pretty much my concern.
How many in the mosaics, what percentage of the suites are rented out, do you think?
I don't have that number. My last kind of knowledge of that was 50-50, or maybe 60% rented and 40% owned and lived in. So potentially 2 to 4 people per unit for the 60 units. And the owner's the same.
So if we think of the Mosaic as a rental property, to some extent, I know there's owners there, what has the impact of this rental property been on the surrounding community?
Well, our rental kind of situation is kind of out of my control. I can't really form my own opinion of it. It hasn't affected me in any way. I've really enjoyed living there so far. It's been very peaceful. Just the fact that it's close to the university makes it kind of young and fresh, and there's lots of kind of growth potential. But the development here, I think, is just going to not be right for the area. So I don't know if I answered your question there. Or...
Well, you kind of did, but kind of not. I mean, I guess my question was kind of in your answer. If the Mosaic is a good addition to the neighborhood, why wouldn't something like this be a good addition to the neighborhood?
I think the density is wrong for this area, and I'm also worried about the traffic and also the property values as well. That's my concern.
How is the... obviously when the Mosaic was built, that was a pretty big departure from the density in the area, right? Mm-hmm. How did that affect local property values?
The way that Mosaic is situated on the corner of Pembina and Bison, I think it makes it very unique in its own way to, you know, being a little bit less intrusive on the area and making things a little bit the same in continuity with the way that Pembina flows and the way that there's buildings on Pembina and in that sort of area. And I think it's really different once you get closer to, this open space and closer to the superstore. It doesn't really fit with the way that that went commercial.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't want to sort of be put upon you, but I mean, we're battling in this city a vacancy rate of sometimes shy of 1%. You know, like folks in this town need a place to live. I don't know that more units, when our people are telling us that in the next 20 years we're likely going to be welcoming an extra net 180,000 people to Winnipeg, are you still that concerned about vacancy rates and property values?
Being directly next door to me, yes, absolutely. And also the fact that, you know, maybe it's not the fact that this is being developed for the amount of units, just the way that it's being developed kind of makes it a little bit intrusive and kind of risky to us with our property values and the way that it's being represented. So
probably give you zero comfort, but oftentimes people have concerns about the construction next door and resulting property values. You know, our experience has been that the property values do remain fairly strong, and responsible construction actually augments property values, believe it or not. I'm just wondering, have you had...
So does this, does this kind of fall within what you think a responsible property development, being building a somewhat of a tower directly beside another? Do you think that's sort of in tune with a responsible sort of development, having two buildings facing each other?
Well...
Or do you think that part maybe could be looked at?
We're going to sum up our argument once we hear back from everybody.
Okay. Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert. This is new to me. Like, this is a learning process for me. And
your concerns very well.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, guys, for your time. Appreciate it.
Lewis Younger.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lewis.
Is there anybody else who is in opposition who hasn't filled out a white sheet in the room? Okay. Would you like to?
Okay. There's one for information.
Well, there's one for information. It's probably you guys. There's Lyle Morissette and Jonathan Cooper. We're here for information. Okay. Thank you.
If you want to change, you should come forward on the record, either indicate if you're
come forward
for information or if you're now in opposition.
Please state your address as well.
Well, actually, we live in Oak Bank, but we just bought 1033 Lee because of the stand of trees here. But I was really encouraged. I appreciate the what they've done to address
the buffer.
The buffer zone to make sure that it's wide enough. I appreciate that you guys are considering that. I appreciate that you're considering, you know, the view on this side. So it's
encouraging.
It's encouraging that way. But about that park idea.
Watch what I say. How about Kemp Park?
You know, we jest, but I have to say I did have that in my writing. That, as he mentioned, we're coming from Oak Bank. We just sold a property that we have 8 acres. We have nothing but bush where we live, and now we're moving to Winnipeg, and it's a little overwhelming when you drive around and you try and buy a home, and you spend 6 months looking for a house, and you can't find a home anywhere nearby a park for your children to bike ride and go play at a park. I'm concerned with what you're talking about, how, you know, we need to build more buildings, we need to accommodate people coming in. I think we need to back up a little bit and say, you know what, we need to accommodate the children. We need to make sure that there are parks available for our children, there are community centers.
The community has to be livable.
And that green space behind there, to me, I see that as being the best place to put a park for our children. There's no park anywhere nearby. I'd walk with my kids. I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. We homeschool our children. We're going to spend a lot of time in the area. If we're to walk from our new home to a park, we need to go all the way down Lee. And just behind Raphael, there's a big pond, and then beyond there, there's a church and a park, and that is a good 15-minute walk. And I have to say, I think that is unacceptable that there's a community that large, talking about expansion, there's a community that large and there's nothing to accommodate that community. You take a drive down there and you will not drive down there without seeing at least 5 or 6 children driving their bike, and there's no place for these children to go. So I don't know if that's a possibility.
Not a possibility because we don't own the land, number one.
Is there any way to see
number
can?
Two, the land's being sold, I think, for
not buying the land.
$4.2 million.
We're not buying the land.
So what we're saying is our children are not a priority.
Well, no, that's not what we're saying.
Well,
what we're saying is
like,
when that development was done, when that development was done, the green space was allocated of the land that came forward for the development, and that's where it was planned to have the green space. So, you know, I guess in those last few lots where you guys bought, that's sort of the last bit of land that's being the last few lots that are doing there. But, you know, our priorities are always your children, and that's why we ensure that there's always parks in every development.
But there's no park in that.
And your argument is not germane to this application.
That's
the whole park issue is a separate issue that you can bring up with your counselor. If
I can try and integrate it somewhat and just mirror other people's concerns, maybe a little bit more consultation, we might be able to figure out something. I understand that probably these will be university students, but possibly some families will move into these rental units, and they will need some place for the children to play. So if we could have some consultation around, hey, maybe we could look at having...
Okay. Can we refrain from the applause so we can keep this meeting going?
We're just trying to get the facts here. We understand where you're coming from, but we need to get the information so we can make sure that the proponent responds to all the questions that are made.
Any other point?
Yeah, the final point is, I was a university student and had my fair share of hooliganism, and I wonder about the possibility of never having university students there. No, just kidding. I wonder about the possibility of looking at condos and the economic feasibility of having, look at these condo owners, how responsible they are and how, you know, they take pride in their
ownership
buildings. You know, that would be a really nice thing to have.
We're not doing the development. We're hearing an application from somebody else. We don't get to decide what goes there. We just get to hear the applications that come forward.
Oh, it's pardon my ignorance, but that's just some ideas that we had. So,
I have a question about, are there any, originally it was zoned commercial. We just bought maybe a month ago, and at that time we were told it was commercial, not residential. Are there any applications on the table right now for any commercial development of that property?
This is the only. You can only have one application on a property.
You can only have one at a time. Okay, yeah. So nobody's shown interest as far as commercial.
We wouldn't get an application. Somebody could sell the land. The current owners. The land is currently owned by the Cambrian Credit Union, who's building the bank there. The entire piece of land is already zoned for commercial.
Okay.
The commercial C3 commercial development can go on there without any public consultation, without any interaction whatsoever. They can build up to 49 feet, I believe the number is. And whatever the allowed density is on the land, put the parking requirements in, nobody has any ability to say anything about it. The 40-foot buffer would have to be maintained because that's already part of that that development agreement for that piece of land.
Okay.
But,
well, that said, I appreciate then that, you know, this isn't going to be a bar or a restaurant or so forth. So, I mean, there's positives for this development as well. So.
There are some positives and there are obviously some issues.
Thank you.
I have one more question. Somebody had mentioned earlier that there was a fence that was supposed to go the entire way, an 8-foot fence with the spruce trees. Do we have any reassurance that if this goes through, that will actually be done, that will be completed? Because where we purchased, we don't have the fence behind and we don't have the spruce trees.
We'll make sure that's the spruce trees.
I don't know the answer to that question.
And will the city look at, if this is done, will the city look at address the concerns of parking? Like maybe put up no parking signs on the road to make sure people aren't parking on me and then walking through the path to go visit them?
There's a process for that. But if the area residents want those types of parking restrictions in place, you do it by petition on the street. So basically you have to get the street to say, yes, that's what we want, because not everybody wants that. It can get complicated.
Thank you. So we will mark you. Is it fair to mark you in opposition? Or stay for information.
How about that good
one? For information.
Thank you. Okay, for the record, we have one more person registered in support, Bob and Timnyuk.
Bob, we already heard the presentations in support. You weren't registered in time, so unfortunately,
we
procedurally,
can only hear
you can't
from the applicant
hear
to come back.
And that hat wouldn't help.
Great one. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for a series of interesting presentation. There's obviously a fair amount of comments. Some of them are repeating, but some of them are interesting to hear and shed some light on the background of the previous development. First of all, for the information of the committee, there was an open house on July 22nd. Some presenter presenting in opposition to the application dated that they weren't aware of any public hearing or information session. It was held on July 22nd. The media of communicating with the immediate residents, actually outline and deliver flyers. It was advertised on newspaper, a local newspaper, and there was equivalent to the similar amount of people here, may not be all the same. A fair amount of them were at that public open house. The comment we made at the public open house, we did not use the word, is not for consultation. We've made it very clear is for information session, not for debate. We do not want to get into a debate of firing each other and then don't get to the merit of what we think. We welcome the information. We did receive a lot of information that night, dated on July 22nd. 22nd or 20? 22nd. And based on our record, there was 12 people spoke at that night. And we do have information notes from that particular evening, including some of the presenters tonight. Just for everybody's information, the project do not rely on Lee Boulevard or the previous Shore Boulevard. The property itself, the proposed development itself, access only from Bison Drive, coming down onto southbound, turn left on eastbound onto the property. There's no proposed access onto anywhere else except this single point. And that single point can lead us only up to Bison Drive. So there's no increased traffic onto Lee Boulevard. And that's why I made a point earlier, why are we increasing connectivity from residential, single family residential area onto a major commercial area? Not to ease people to go in and buy two bags of groceries from Superstore. I believe one of the presenters, a young man, Mitchell,
sorry. Your phone, please.
There was one presenter talked about people park on Lee for university students, going cut across, and hop onto a bus and go to university. There are cases that kids will park at Fort Richmond, ride a bike to go to campus. We don't want to see that case. That's why we're opposed to spend the money on doing Plato connection. That's the point I made initially. I oppose to the suggestion by the administration.
You want to do the connection on that right away to change it into a walkway?
That was recommended by the administration, and we oppose
that. I think, Ray, the problem with Plato there is that there's a major pipe that goes underneath there, so it'll stay as an empty lot forever. So whether it's formally developed or not, then you still have that issue.
Understand. It will be always open, but at least we're not doing anything to encourage more further connectivity for anybody. And most importantly, I believe the councilors have pointed out very, very, very clearly the current zoning bylaw C3. Anybody can come here and do a five, 45 feet tall building anywhere on this property without coming forward to you. It can be a hotel. Very easily. It's a permitted use, permitted height, can be located anywhere within the site. So let's not use the term commercial too generically. It can be a 7-Eleven and it can be a Subway store. I'm sure everybody driven by a Subway. I have nothing against Subway, but I have the same syndrome as a lot of us, not in my backyard. In this particular case, what we're proposing is remain that 40 feet setback, the buffer, the natural buffer, 40 feet right across. I hear loud and clear. Certain residents within the area do not want to see any indentation within that 40 feet. And we will commit to work with that, should that be the condition. We ask for it, and if we have to go through another round of design to make it work, we will do the best we can to work with that limitation. The existing fence along the south property line, 46 feet in, over 50% of the length is already built by the previous developer, in this case, Loblaw Superstore. Did they sprinkle Spruce Street? I have no idea. That was a condition prior to our involvement. We, as the development of this particular phase, are committed to extend that particular fence, as recommended by the planner's report. With regard to some of the interesting comments about university students being residents over here, our track record can prove to you, Chancellor Gate, we have the same comment, same concern. The developer consciously tell people, as a policy, in this case, people that manage the building will be the developer. So for your information, I'm representing a developer and future owner of this entire development. This is not a development deal that one day will be A firm developing it and B guy will come in as the owner. We are just the same as an owner being a neighbor. We are just as concerned about mixing different groups of residents into this particular complex. For your interest, what quality of the building, I believe one of the lady mentioned about what is the quality of this particular building, how do we give you guarantee? I can answer that question. Guarantee will be one more piece of brick than mosaic. In terms of quality, our track record will have to demonstrate that. We are the development team at Edgewater and Wellington. At the same time when Mosaic was developed, when Mosaic hit the market, it was $150,000, $160,000 a unit, while we were selling $450,000 to $550,000 a unit to start. Chancellor Gate, built 6 years ago, completed 5 years ago, people moved in, capable of flipping it into a condominium, started off as a rental. If you drive by, in my leisure, look at Chancellor Gate. Chancellor Gate is a rental, four-story building. Was a rental, four-story building. The entire main floor is a brick, all the way around the back. Backside that nobody can appreciate, we have brick. So I can assure you as a professional, I've practiced in the city of Winnipeg the last 25 years. I do not enjoy doing cheap building, and 25 years, most of our clients, touch wood, I've been fortunate. Every one of our clients demand quality, no different than the Dynasty Group. And that's the assurance, that's as much of an assurance I can give you. And I believe our development team that involved in all the development projects that we have been presenting, including this particular project, same team member, have an extremely good track record with the City of Winnipeg. When we commit to do certain tasks, when we commit to certain conditions on any other previous redevelopment, rezoning, variances, conditional use, you name it, we fulfill our commitment to the city. The city include yourself, not simply the councilor, the committee, or the administration. You include it. We respect you as a neighbor. Going back to the university student, the rental rate, I guess one of the young chap here talked about competition of his particular unit. That's why economics will grow. That's what the economic will turn. Competition is healthy. But I don't think we're in the same rental rate. We're talking a one-bedroom unit, $1,100 net for this particular project, phase one. We're talking about $1,450 net for two-bedroom units over here. We're talking quality stuff that will charge people. People will have to pay for quality living as your neighbor. We're not talking about $150 a square foot. Edgewater, when we first started, was $350 a square foot. When this building built, was claimed about $150 a foot. Same time, same marketplace. So we are coming from a different angle. Don't look at everything become a competition. It is competition in terms of commercial term. Now, this is really not strictly a residential anymore. In fact, 50%, like you claim, up to 60% are actually commercial terms, rental. And over and equivalently, it would be fair to say 118 units on those two complex, only 50% phase this side, so it's 54, not 118. The other 54 face Pembina Highway. In terms of shadow and view, well, if I put a four-story or five-story building over here right next to you without coming in to ask for any rezoning and simply build a hotel, it can be very easily 50% of my rooms or quarter of my rooms if I decide to go with the L-shape. We have no sun during the morning because you block my view. Does it mean when you come in first before I have more right than the people coming after you? Question here about distance from here to City Hall across. That's 20 meters, 60 feet. What we are talking about here is approximately 150 feet. We're talking two parking lot plus side yards, plus the 2.8, 2.4 meter of asphalt paving that the city wants us to widen up. At the open house, we did talk about the option of doing landscape strips along the east side and further move the parking further to the west. I believe one of the gentlemen over here talked about it. We talked about aspen. We talked about putting aspen along the tree over here, give you some greenery. We talked about possibly indent some of the parking and create small parking spots and create pockets of landscaping and go with spruce trees, give you a year-round green space. What happened to those conversations? and I believe some of the comments that were presented by the opposition support what we were talking about before. Why do we want to have more blacktop called pathway for bike when you only have two or three people enjoy it? Does every one of you ride a bike and come all the way down to the south end of shore just for the heck of it and use the Astro Gold up to Bison? No, you don't. Because some of the pictures show you cut an opening on the fence so you have the shorter distance to come onto Bison Drive. You never did what was intended to do. That's not what we do.
Right.
We create
right.
a pathway.
Can you address the committee?
Sure. Sorry.
Oh, you're getting off track here.
Right? There's more quality on that side. They're the majority, so I kind of look at them as that. Sorry, Chairman. If I may, I'll take a moment just to hit some of the highlight of each of the presenters, and then I'll close my presentation, Mr. Chairman. The first presenter, John and Eileen, looking at another building and another parking lot. Like I said earlier, looking at another building is approximately 150 feet away, and there are plenty of those examples that are much less distance than what we're proposing over here. Say Osborne Village, for example, going to Lindenwoods, for example. Further down south of Pembina Highway, tons of little examples of a lot less than 150 feet across. Looking at the parking lot, yet another parking lot, there is an existing asphalt parking lot on their own property on the east of the subject property. We did make the initiative of proposing a softened edge of a landscape edge along the east side of our property, not until we see the planner's report or the administration report. Second presenter, I believe the same thing about the pathway, lack of sunshine, east versus the west. Third item, third presented play. I believe in your property, within that 40 feet of the buffer zone, based on the aerial photo, and also along, within the buffer zone, there are two sheds within Bob's property. Here. So is that what we call buffer? We are prepared to commit to that 40 feet buffer zone. And we are prepared, after hearing all the presentation, we are prepared to 40 feet contiguously. With regard to density, shall this piece of property be allowed to be rezoned to RMU, the maximum density in lot 2 is 227 units based on land density. What we're proposing is 96 versus 227. Density is much lower than what is allowed if we go for full RMU. For lot 3 allowed permitted under RMU is 235 units within this lot. We're proposing 144, much less than what is maximum allowable. Mrs. Leon, you said what you see over here is completely different than what you see when the notice came out. May I correct you? This is the exact same board that we have presented at the open house. Same material we have used for the application, just to be consistent. We did not even bother coming up with an alternative floor plan or a site plan to address what the planner's concerns are, because that will further confuse the issue. We stick with what we have and come up here and present it accordingly. With regard to information provided was being late, well, the report was presented on Thursday. We were able to download it. We read the report. That's why at the very beginning of the meeting, I have asked the hard copies I was given, is it the same as the one issued on, posted on Thursday? Eric, the fifth presenter, talked about green space on the east side. I believe I have adjusted that. Jerry Falk, you talk about privacy in the backyard. Interesting. We have 40 feet backyard, 40 feet setback over here as a natural buffer zone. As demonstrated in the photograph, they are dense forest. In a natural setting, single family housing, one of the presenters talk about maybe you should go to single family. Sure. Single family, you only have 25 feet setback to the backyard and then another 25 to your own backyard. That's all you give is 50 feet in total. Your bedroom window faces your neighbor 50 feet across the fence that you may construct. In this case, the end of both buildings are solid wall. There's no residential unit looking onto your backyard. Several comments about the presenter had tried to contact our client, the Dynasty Group, based on our record. Our client had confirmed he had not received any phone call. With regard to decrease in value, when this building was built $150 a square foot, when this guy is going to come in at about $200 and $225 a square foot, you know damn well what that will happen. Your property value should go up. And that's what the track record has shown, history. And with regard to parking requirement for both lot 2 and 3, in average, is about 140 stalls. Both proposals are going 207 and 241, well exceed what is minimum in the zoning bylaw. To alleviate the parking issue or concern that you may bring up along the lead. Councilor Steeks brought up a very interesting point. Impact onto the existing neighborhood. How did Mosaic impact on the existing neighborhood is a very good question to ask ourselves. All we're trying to do is complement what is already existing. And I believe we have planned it in a much more sensitive way. And I disagree with some of the comment about the land is not being well used, well developed, and it's not whatever. Yes, I am, sir.
No, I guess.
Will you want to go?
Just one key question. Okay, one key question.
When you go first, and then I'll find out.
I'd be willing to wager. I don't know for sure, but I think the one issue maybe. I mean, there's a lot of issues, but the. I'll bet you that the one building that the gentleman pointed to, the one that sort of broadsides the mosaic, is there any possibility for, and I don't know what Councillor Swandell has in mind, but any possibility for a reorientation of that building on the site? Because I didn't hear a lot of concern about anything on the western part of the site at all. Except for the buffer zone stuff, but people seem generally happy about the idea of the buffer zone on the on that side of with what you were doing. It almost seems like the whole thing might boil down to just the one building that has a north-south orientation sort of on the eastern part of the property. I don't know if that's an overgeneralization, but that did occur to me at some point.
May I respond to that question?
Can you answer the question?
Yeah. During our presentation back in July 22nd, I believe David, Mr. Lowe asked the question, can any portion of this building be lower? The offer was, maybe what we'll do is drop this down by 1 foot, increase that 1 foot, narrow side of the building, and increase that to 1 foot, and can be still within the 75 feet limitation that has been suggested by the planner's report, and lower one wing a bit. But what is 50 feet versus 60 feet? If anything I can do to improve the situation, I'm prepared to look at it. And that proposal was presenter number 4 back on July 22nd, and I believe it was Mr. Lowe.
Here's the problem we have, right? Most of the people understand that going from commercial to residential isn't bad. It's actually positive for the site. I think people are sort of starting to get that as you hear them come forward. It's the idea of having the ability to interact a little closely with you guys on what you're going to do with this and you know, the impact. If, you know, like, I could try and skin that cat right now, or I could, you know, maybe suggest you guys go back out and sit down with Mr. Lowe, and I think there was another gentleman here from the board or from the board of the condo.
The problem we run into with that is we have to go through the election before the next community committee meeting, and you don't know that you'll have the same community committee, and you may have to start the process again.
I am prepared to propose by shifting this way further to the west, allowing us to go maybe one extra floor on the narrow side of the building. It's the density. This is all about, some presenter talked about it, it's all economics. I need to make the density. As long as we can maintain 144 units, the land cost, like Councilor suggested, is well over $4 million. This set a record in the city of Winnipeg, over $650,000 an acre of unserviced land. By shortening up the wing, allow this portion to have the flexibility of increase the density, can be done.
And have you talked that through with our planners?
Well, this is strictly in reaction to what we're here today.
That's the dilemma, is like trying to do this right now without any consultation. I understand the need and understand the value of the land. Like, I like the idea of this land shifting from commercial to residential. So I understand that you've got to get certain density on there to deal with the cost of the land. And not everybody really will understand that until they see it happen somewhere else. But the things that you can put on that land right now are far more offensive than the residential use. But, you know, without being able to figure it out with the planners and trying to do it without having you interacting with the folks in the condo. I guess the other piece is that we still have plan approval that we can come back with.
Absolutely. I would request your serious consideration not to lay over this application because of the timing of it. You're not going to have the election. The next meeting will be in towards the later part of November. We're going to miss the boat. Not putting pressure on the community. But if you read the planner's report, they have no objection to the location of this particular wing at this current location. Why don't they have any objection to going further to the west?
Ray, there is a bit of a reasonable argument to me, because we ultimately have plan approval, so there's a bit of a reasonable argument that can be made by people that having the setback, maintaining some of the better sites, view lines from the mosaic, you could argue the hiccup in that is that because you can come tight to the line, it's very difficult in good conscience to say you can't have a residential building there 100 foot setback at 70 feet or 65 feet or whatever, when you could have one at 49 feet right up against it. But we are dealing with people here that have made significant investments, and whether it's reality or perception that they're going to lose value or something, I think we have a responsibility to respectfully have the conversation with them. Or to put something out there that allows us to deal with it going down the road. I got a couple other things here. I just want to make clear the westerly building. You said you had no problem with putting it within inside the 40-foot buffer, contiguous all the way. And in the plans, you would come forward with proper greenery or evergreens in there as well, adding to some of the greenery?
Well, how was the previous zoning agreement enforced?
I don't know, Ray. All I know is that right now, a lot of that is proper forest. It's easy to take a picture of it today, and it's green in the summertime. In the wintertime, it's just a bunch of sticks.
We will make a proposal how to do reasonable amount of spruce tree, but I ain't going to put up to complete the task that Superstore is supposed to be committed.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is I would expect to see in the plans that the landscaping detail that there would be evergreen trees added in there to improve the visual buffer rather than just leaving it the way it is.
Yes, for your information, at our open house, we even talked about, do you want me to put landscaping on your yard instead of on this yard? That was one of the proposals earlier, too. That was talked about. Why do you want to look at the fence and part of the tree? You would really want to see a tree, I'll put it in your yard.
And what's on the end of that stairwell? Is it a brick wall?
Solid wall. No penetration, like I have said earlier, in respect to the single-family residence itself. don't look at my bedroom is always a concern.
And what about lighting off of that building?
It would be to the side because the door is to the side. They would just be to the
side. And it would only be at the first floor?
At the lower level. That's all you need.
The 75 feet, there was somebody made a comment about how many stories that was.
I believe Mr. Lowe suggests someone said it can be a 10-story building, but that's not what we're coming forward. Our plans show a 7-story building.
7 stories, okay.
Our plans show a 7-story up to 75 feet tall.
Okay, so now if you're going to go... You would go to 8 stories to get the extra density there if you were to move it?
A majority of the portion of the building can stay at 7 feet. All I'm asking for is a portion of this building, maybe along here, can come to an 8-story building within the elevator core, within the exit stairwell, and line up with this building to go in the 8-story building. An 8-story building can very well be within the 75 feet tall.
And you still will meet your parking requirement?
Absolutely. Because the underground parking footprint will be larger than the building footprint above. So where do I go another 20 feet deeper to get another row of parking? It's just a design issue. Councilor, I'm prepared to make a suggestion. Only the northerly section of the building on the west-easterly setback maintained as a 9-meter. The balance of the building to the south wall of the northern block has to be further away. I'd call 100 feet. This is already 60. Another 60 is 120. So allow me 50% of the block over here to make it work. And again, as you have suggested, I still have to come back for plan approval, including garbage enclosure, parking layout, building exterior elevation, and landscaping.
Okay, so if you're able to move to the west, you can then, would you be able to add some more landscaping along so that the people that are looking out over that what will now be a sea of parking?
I have made that commitment before, or suggestion before, is in lieu of widening an actual strip, take that 2.5 meter and call it landscaping.
But like throughout the rest of the, like if you're moving this building down to here, this is all going to be your parking now, right?
Parking can be show off with some landscaping along.
Landscaping islands in here?
We create islands. That's what the planner has suggested earlier during our initial consultation meeting. Internal landscape islands. And again, landscaping plan will still have to come back for the director of planning approval. Your review yet?
Okay, there was some comments at the beginning about the. One other thing on this, like, you would construct this first.
Yes.
So the construction time and the sort of the absorption before you would move to phase two. Any idea of how long that would take?
Based on the schematic schedule right now, we would like to be in the foundation stage in February when the ground is frozen. So we don't track a lot of dirt and clay and mud everywhere else. We're hoping to be in foundation in February. But that usually takes about 12 months to 14 months construction. Just a year. So in 2012 spring, this should be completed. And the site work landscaping will be spring. Lease up period for a rental apartment, usually about 2 years.
So you would be about 2014 before you would move to...
Move on to this.
So would you be amicable to a clause that restricted you to not starting this second phase until this piece was whatever percent rented out?
What's the definition of rented out?
Well, occupied. That occupancy of the building is occurred to 50%. Because there's time, you know, time pieces in play here. You know, like people, you know, I don't want to see two partially built buildings going up at the same time.
What's the concern?
Just
Aesthetics. The longer you can hold on before you start building right in front of these people's windows or balconies.
Was like, go buy a piece of land, but you can't build in 4 years. That doesn't make a lot of
money. Well, I'm not saying you can't build in 4 years. I'm saying that you can't start the second phase till the first phase is substantially complete, or I don't know what the term is, just some sort of a condition that works well.
I would agree to a term that second phase cannot proceed with construction until phase one construction is substantially completed. Whether I'm going to fill it up with renter or I prefer to sit it empty because of the marketplace, I have no demand, I have no control. If we hit another 3 years ago in November, which everybody anticipated a recession, but nothing did happen, everything kind of stopped, no permit pull, no commercial development.
Okay, so on the development agreement, the first issue was the 10% dedication. Maybe, Kim, you can answer this question. We've got a piece of commercially zoned land that's being downzoned to residential. Is there a land dedication attributable? Hasn't this already been subdivided and land dedication taken?
It's subject to an appraisal department that determines the value of the land, and they consider all the factors, including the change in zoning, and oftentimes, and the...
It's an internal appraisal.
It's an internal appraisal.
That doesn't give me great comfort. I'm trying to figure out here.
They fairly consider all the factors.
Okay, so you've got a piece of land that's basically beside a superstore that's C3 zoning that you could do something major on commercially. In my experience, that land, that zoning is valued far higher than multi-family zoning.
Okay, I'll say it. It's likely the dedication will be zero.
It's likely the dedication will be zero.
Yes.
It's a formula that stays in, and if the value doesn't go up, they don't pay anything.
Yeah, but that's right.
I
understand. I just, like... That's my sense of where it would go, is that there wouldn't be any land dedication. So, you know, I don't want to get into a debate with him about what works I might ask or not ask for, not knowing what's going on with the land dedication. So the other two things, Ray, were the two paths, right? The one, you have no problem with the Bison Drive one?
Well, in lieu of the 10%, we know there's a high possibility that there may not be any 10% dedication being downzoned. We're proposing, as a good neighbor, we spoke with the planner, we spoke with other people at the city, we're prepared to contribute the $35,000 as a fixed amount, do not leave it wide open for future prorated share of your frontage. Who knows, 10 years can be $400 a linear meter. You can't limit an unknown factor onto a developer. So all we're trying to do is minimize the unknown between the city of Winnipeg and ourselves.
Okay.
And the east side, we are prepared to come back to landscaping.
Okay, all right.
I think I know what I want to do, unless anybody else has any questions. Okay, you can stand down, Ray.
Okay. Ray, you're standing down.
Okay, just so we're clear, rather than me going through the motions and everybody gets confused, I'm going to sort of tell you what I'm going to try and do here, and then I'll do it through the motions.
Then you'll get confused.
Yeah, well, and I might get confused after.
Well, that might not be till 10 o'clock, so we have time.
But I'm satisfied that this maintaining the 40-foot buffer here, this four-story building, isn't the big issue, and we have to maintain...
I'd like to go out and do sort of a little more consultation on this. I'm willing to do this, to have this move back here so that all this is open up to view again. That's a substantial change. And to allow, you know, not to exceed the 75 feet of there for a portion of it. The reason I'm comfortable with that is because the planners will have to go and take a look at it and make sure that it's okay. And ultimately, it comes back as plan approval. So I would expect, Ray, that there would be a bit of interaction between Dynasty Group and the condo court, the board, looking at what you're going to do on this trail down here. I'm going to eliminate, or request that we eliminate this clause in here. And then through your interactions with this board, come back and plan approval will deal with what this is going to look like. I would much rather leave it in the hands of an architect and the people that have to live with it than, you know, three politicians and a couple of planners, you know. So I think it's a far wiser thing to do. I think you'll end up with a better product at the end of the day. I think this is going to have implications on your parking, and that's going to, how this plans out and how you beautify this. I don't think it's fair to hold you hostage because there's an election coming up, and that's why I'm going to try and move this forward. But creating that opportunity to have that interaction, I think, is a key piece here. But you need to do substantive conversations with these people to look at. We all know that there are financial implications for developers with this, but I don't see enhanced landscaping as a huge impact. I know that if we start to encroach too much in the parking, that you're going to have issues with variances. So both sides have to sort of understand that that's the give and take that you're playing with. So you guys can go out and sort that out as you go forward. So that's basically what I'm going to do. And I think the people on Lee Boulevard are going to get the buffer maintained, the fence extended, and maybe have some conversations with the Kemps about the end of that one building, right? With the Kemps on Lee Boulevard, the end of this building, even though we're pushing it back to 40 feet, I think Mrs. Kemp had a bit of an issue with it as to what it might look like when they're looking out of their yard. Just a conversation to give them a sense of what that finish will look like. Okay? So I don't know how I'm going to word this. I'm going to need some help.
Okay. I've got my ready to start moving
these up. Let me get to my correct page here first. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the report, the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in with the following amendments. Okay, the maximum height, okay, we're okay there. That a 40-foot natural landscape buffer, that was already in, so we don't need to amend that. What I need to amend is the pieces on the trails.
Do you want to just make the amendments, the general amendments, and then the administration?
Yeah, here's what I want to see happen. Just so we all know that we're on the same page. Eliminate the 10% land dedication. Put the onus on them for the front trail there to pay their share of the trail that's going to be installed along here. Like this trail is only going to go all the way to the university, but they're responsible to pay for from Old Shore Street, Old Shore to. Am I on the wrong side here?
Yeah.
To here.
From where to where?
From the westerly edge of Lot 2. Lot 3, pardon me, to the easterly edge of Lot 3. So that's the strip of that basically their bison frontage. They have to pay their share of the pathway for that's going in on Bison Drive. And with that being done, then we will eliminate the land dedication clause. Okay?
Okay, so is it their share of the pathway, or is it
Their share is the way it's worded in here, and I'm fine with their share. I don't know where that's going to happen, and I'm not going to get into a back-and-forth debate here, but it's basically they're paying for the installation of that pathway in front of their building on Bison.
Okay.
a bicycle pathway of 3 meters or whatever it is that we normally, or what our normal clause is.
They're going to, eliminate the 10% land dedication clause, make them pay for their share of the trail from the westerly edge of Lot 3 to the easterly edge of Lot 3.
Okay. The other clause that I want to delete is the clause that talks about the expansion of the pathway along the east property line. And that we will deal with. That's the piece that we'll deal with between the Condo Corp and Dynasty Group, figuring out what we're going to do there because the...
Sorry, what clause is that? The number
three? Are you, you're in the ACG now?
I'm in the ACG.
Okay, clause three, where it says the improvement shall include construction of 1.5 meter concrete pathway.
That's the Plato.
Oh, that's the Plato one.
Okay, one.
It's one.
It's clause one, I think.
Clause one, the developer's under suspension.
That's the one Biden Drive right away.
Okay, yeah. So we need to just, all it should articulate is that east side, what it needs to say is that the pathway and landscaping along the east side will be dealt with through plan approval. Okay. Instead of that clause? Okay. The Plato Street,
there are two things in the ACG report about the pathway. There's the plan considerations to provide and legally opening land for the pathway, to widen the pathway, which is
Section A.
And then C1 deals with what they're supposed to construct within the pathway.
Are you in the ACG report or in the
page 24?
Section 8 plan considerations.
Yeah. 24 plan consideration. Oh, up here, not in clause 1 of C. Okay. Yeah. The development of legal opening of cost etc.
It's to widen, like the strip on the adjacent land is right of way. It's right of way.
Okay, so I don't mind this. But if you put 5 meters in there, we'll end up with, because you can leave it open and have zero setback, you know what I mean? That still basically represent 5 meters. So I don't want that clause in there, like, because I want those people to work with them to figure out what it's going to look like at the end of the day. If we restrict it to a 5 meter, it has to be 5 meters wide, and he's trying to move that building back there and accommodate parking without having to get a variance, it can create issues. So there's got to be a back and forth.
Well, if there are modifications to the pathway, which...
There might be.
But then we end up on private property with that.
You don't end up on private property.
Well, we only have 2.5 meters right now, and it's basically asphalt.
But if that's right what now. We decide we have to do, and we get to, before they can come forward with plan approval, at that time they would make the choice to legally open that right-of-way. We don't have to impose it as a condition right now, because we're saying right now that the right-of-way has to be 5 meters wide.
Yes.
I think that makes it too difficult to work with what the landscaping might want the landscaping to look like, because the landscaping might be on both properties. So I just want it to be open. Okay. So basically, we can take that clause out of there.
So delete entire clause A.
Do you need something in there that says that?
Well, that's the extension of the width of the right of way itself, not the pathway per se.
I know, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I want that conversation to be had with the Condo Corp. I don't want to be just saying that the right of way is going to be 5 meters.
It's just a line. You know, the landscaping can traverse that line. It's just
or not.
Or not.
Because if he has to move that building back there and they end up needing a foot over here, then you're going to be coming back for a variance after. Because he's either going to need a parking variance or why not? Like, ultimately, you want to end up with the 5 meters. I don't want to make it a condition so that they have to come back and undo the whole thing. I mean, it's your intent to get 5 meters, and that's probably where you'll be. You understand? Like, I'm trying to leave the door open here so that you can get everything accomplished.
So you want to delete any plan considerations. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And when the plan approval comes forward, I mean, if you guys need to fight for a five-meter right-of-way that he's got to give, then should have already been worked out, and they would volunteer to give you that right-of-way.
I'm envisioning a sidewalk plow coming down there and needing some space for...
Okay. Kim, right now, we've got what we have. If it wasn't for this application, you wouldn't have the right to ask for a 5 foot. And you got, I don't know if you saw the picture, one of the pictures showed there's a big electric box in the middle of the bloody sidewalk that we have.
Yes.
Like, let's leave the door open here so that some reasonable minds can do something reasonable. So let's...
Next one. Where are we with this? Are you deleting this clause in its entirety?
Take the clause out.
Okay.
The administration will look after it as they go through the plan approval process. The final thing that I need in here, and I might have to look to a little bit of guidance, that if you're going to bring this back in here, I would use this nib as sort of the guide. If you could just give me a point.
Okay, hang on. You can't get up here.
Yeah.
You're
done.
Delegation is done.
What do you want?
Legally,
to do?
You're done.
I want to make sure that we draw a line here somewhere that you know that we're respecting.
You have 109 meters. Go 50 meters. That's 100. I don't know what I'm doing here. You want to establish a line with the building?
Oh, I see. 109 meters. So you want me to go to 50% here?
Yes.
So if this lot width is 109 meters,
you understand what you're
saying? Then it shouldn't exceed 64.5 meters.
It just gets wrong. You just can't stop.
Okay.
Okay, so to a point, basically what it'll be is that the building will shift to a point that's halfway across, which would be 54.5 meters either from the east to the west.
You don't even know if we can actually do this.
We'd have to go back with the senior planners and
That doesn't help me now.
I know, but I'll give you what I can say right now, how this might work. Okay, what was your point? What was the point?
54 and a half meters.
54.5 meters is the easterly edge. 54.5 meters in from the easterly edge, which is halfway across the lot.
So the building will be moved west. 54 and a half to a point.
To a point, not less than 54.5 meters from the... Eastern limit of lot three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where do you have them, Mark? Let's see it again.
To move the building to a point not less than 54.3 meters from the eastern limit of lot three. Which building is it? Is it building?
Well,
is there a descriptor?
What would be considered the southerly wing, the north-south articulated building of phase two. The southerly portion of
the south wing of the phase two building.
I had something along the lines of...
There's going to be a dog's breakfast.
The east-west facing portion of the building on lot three be set back from the eastern property line by no less than 54.5 meters.
Yeah, you'll have to give me the word.
Okay, we can clean the language up. But I know what it is that we need to do here. We can clean the language up later, but basically we're putting 50% of the lot as the setback for that north-south wing of phase two. Do you understand, Robert? Like, we're okay? Yeah. Legally, we can do this?
Yeah, it's the east-west facing portion of the building, correct?
Let me show you here.
Yeah. No, that's correct.
This wing right here.
Yeah.
This wing.
Yeah.
It's got to come this way.
Yeah.
And he'll go up another story on part of this to accommodate what he loses from coming into this area. Or not. He may be able to find his density within the 50.
They're not going to be able to do it anyway without variances, which will have to come back to community.
Yeah.
All right. I see what he's saying here.
Okay, that's a legitimate question, Councillor Swindell. With these reconfiguring the buildings on the fly, what is the impact on the variance?
There is no impact on the variances. The variances are all because of the front yards, right? Like there's no front addresses on Bison?
Yeah. There may be a rear yard variance, though.
There's a variance in here for the setback, for parking encroachment in here, I think, from lot 2 to lot 1.
There are side yard setbacks. We're going in a lot of
I can deal with that as we go through the variances. I understand the variances. If they're not internal, then I'll pick them up.
Okay. Robert, do you have questions?
Yeah, well, that might trigger a variance, though. I don't know, like, what the southern extent would be.
Yeah.
So off of the proposed property line, where it is it 25 feet back, right? So, I mean,
he's not going to bring something back that triggers a variance. I'm pretty confident that if he triggers a variance, then we're right back to square one again. So then it becomes a decision as whether or not they want to go forward or not. Because
we're getting
a little off. We're getting to take the representations after they've been closed. Yes. We'll go through this and
deal with the subdivision and rezoning.
Okay. So those are the amendments.
Are you clear on the amendments?
Not at all. I'm clear that he's deleting the condition for land dedication. He's deleting Section A plan considerations.
Can we just leave out the number and just say developer providing legal opening and no-cost city property required for widening the public
right of way? Well, no, because then that goes back to you. I want to satisfy these people. I don't want to satisfy you.
Satisfaction of
I know what you want. Yeah. You want 5 years. So these people might want it differently than what you want. No, and that's the conversation that
I want to satisfy you, Kevin. You're a lawyer. You want to satisfy her. Okay.
No, I'm just teasing. But okay. Five meters is not the number. It's just too...
There's already a legally open right-of-way. And if we need to create one,
sufficient at one point.
I will guarantee you that with the hammer of plan approval, these guys will do what is right after they consult with these people. Well, and the proper easements will work.
We have to register a plan subdivision, though.
Kim? We were asking Mark on the amendments. I want to make sure he's somewhat clear with it. The second one you were on, the first one you were clear on, the second one was...
Yeah, delete plan considerations in its entirety, the whole section. Sorry, Kim.
That's two.
We're going to go back to the plan approval. We're going to delete the requirement for land dedication.
Right.
We're also going to have to build in a clause that would be part of the zoning agreement to ensure that the north-south wing of the Phase 2 building is moved to a point not less than 54.5 meters from the eastern limit of Lot 3.
Yes.
There is also wording on your pathway requirement. I'm not sure where I wrote it. One of these
the pathway requirement, well, I'm starting to figure out what Kim's saying. You've got to register the plan of subdivision, so you need to have a lot line somewhere. But you don't need to have it for subdivision approval, like for our approval.
No.
You need to have it before you can register. So he needs to resolve that with them and to your satisfaction before you'll bring a plan forward to me, right?
Yes, and it can fall under such minor changes as required, but there has to be a line somewhere.
But he can't bring a plan forward until you agree to bring that plan forward.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got the hammer you need. Yeah. I mean,
we can't lose that he provides and legally opens something. We can't lose that.
I can't do that.
But he provide a legally open right of way to the satisfaction of the planning department.
Well, it says right now to the director of public works.
To the director of public works, leave out the 5 meters.
Yeah. Just leave out the dimension, and
so that we can set the line. Yeah, I don't think. We can work with that.
Okay, so we're staying. We're changing. I'm just deleting to the standard 5.0 meters.
No, required for the 2.562 meter widening.
Just take the five
the numbers out there.
Take the numbers right out.
Take the numbers out. Property required for widening of the public right of way.
All right, lost.
Okay,
so we've taken that out. The other piece was Plato, that access off of Plato.
You're also going to have to do something about whatever. Finish Plato.
I We'll leave Plato as it is. We put a pathway through there that will accommodate walk-through traffic. Because I think it's as much it's probably more of a benefit for the people from the existing community than it is for the new development or for the superstore. So, and it'll just clean that lot up. And otherwise, that'll just sit there as an eyesore.
There is a minor, the Schedule A plan is actually incorrect. Where it says Plato Street is actually a lot. The Plato Street right-of-way is actually just a skinny strip adjacent to it.
You can submit a revised one at P&D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just that little right-of-way.
It's six
so we don't even
wide.
Get to clean the whole lot up.
It's 6 meters wide, the strip. The Plato right-of-way is actually 6 meters, which is ideal lot.
Okay.
We can clean that.
Okay.
In terms of the height of the other building,
the height is fine at 75 feet, I heard him say.
The height is fine, density stays the same.
Height and density stay the same?
So there's no density requirement. So,
yeah. Yeah, we're under the density, but the height is restricted to 75 feet in phase 3.
Okay.
Right? That is phase 3? Or lot 3, phase 2?
Anything else?
Just the one clause that I mentioned earlier on that the construction on that phase two not start until the construction on phase one is substantially complete. And I don't think that's onerous on the developer. They should be able to plan that. Well, 4 amendments in addition. Okay, Mark?
Yep.
Okay.
So approval as amended.
As amended, and that the so that this goes forward to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
All in favor? Contrary?
Okay, and the supporting reasons are that it's actually a downzoning, and then I know that a lot of people have a different view on that. And I think with the amendments that are made, we have enough to work with here that we're respecting everybody's value in this equation. Whether it's the people from Lee Boulevard, the people from the condos, or even the developers themselves. So I think we're landing in a good place here that we can go forward and come up with a decent product that works well for everybody. And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All in favor, contrary, and carried.
Okay, the variances.
The variance now.
Okay, dimensional standards for the zoning lot not having frontage on an improved street. So the first series of variances for the establishment of the zoning lot not having frontage on an improved street, for the establishment of an accessory parking lot on proposed lot 2 to permit no driveway having access to a street or public lane. The establishment of an accessory parking area on proposed lot 3 to permit no driveway having access to a street. So I'm fine with that because I understand the no access piece, that the order shall come into force and effect upon the coming into force and effect of the zoning bylaw for the subject land, rejection of the part of application to vary the dimensional standards as follows. That the order shall come into force and effect of one. Can somebody explain this to me, this clause where it says...
Usually we have 2 years. Rather than having that,
okay.
It doesn't really make any sense for this to start a timer until the DASZ is actually completed. So then that's when the variance will actually come into force and effect. So it doesn't actually occur until the rezoning and subdivision has been completed and finalized by bylaw.
Okay, so but then you have these recommendations that we reject part of these variances.
Yep.
But these are the side yard variances.
There are some that may be changed, so we don't know ultimately what the end design will end up being. There could be some design changes that variances could be triggered otherwise.
But if they're on internal lots, are we...
Depends on where they are.
Yeah, but aren't these all internal
no.
clauses?
No. Some of them go to near the lands, near the mosaic. Some of them...
Oh, to take the...
Not all of them. Some of them are internal.
Okay, but I need to keep all these alive if we're going to do that. I see the one on the mosaic, but that's just for the parking to come there. And that we can deal with in plan approval. Okay. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
That the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
I'll move that criteria A to D of subsection 247 sub 3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set up below are satisfied. And I'll move that the recommendations of the Winnipeg Public Service be partially concurred in. I don't want to reject items 2, 3, 4, and 5. I need them to be alive in order for us to properly go through this process of where things are going to end up for landscaping, etc. And in having the hammer of plan approval, I'm confident that we'll work this out properly. If there are any specific issues relative to fire, those will come up and you never allow the plans to come forward. So I'm confident that we can keep these alive and go forward. So I'm recommending that we agree with the first part of the recommendation, 1, 3, and 5, but disagree with the rejection of the other 2, 3, 4, and 5A and B. There's 3C.
So you're approving the variances as applied for.
As applied for. There you go. That's the simple language I was looking for. I'm amending the recommendation.
Okay,
I'm approving the variances as applied for.
Okay. All in favor? Contrary, carried.
And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Contrary, carried. We're done.
Well, we got to go back to open business. I need 2 minutes over.
For what?
We can do this for your stuff.
Oh, okay. Just read them out there.
Okay, so we're back to the regular meeting now. This public hearing is over. And we're back to regular
business. I think you're bored of the death.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. It's an ugly process, but I think it's worked.
138.60 times 2 4.
Well, actually, it's posted on the city one. It's posted.
Yep.
They're part of the report.
Yeah, but a grant.
No, I don't think they're in the report.
They didn't finish the diagrams.
Can you take a picture?
Sure, go ahead. It's
a grant.
You guys are doing, I'm in favor of whatever you say.
Back up. The Capita Grant Association of Pakistani Canadians, I think. 175.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
Change it to 175 instead of 168.21. It just sounds better, Gordon.
Sure.
Dakota Lancers, 250.
All in favor, contrary, carried.
Because St. Germain Parish Council, 200.
Sure, votes carried.
South Winnipeg, 55 plus, 150.
Sure, votes carried.
Robert, I was taking notes. I closed the document. And I forgot to save half. I forgot to save half of the viewers.
Are you serious?
I closed the wrong document.
Okay.
We'll go to the tape.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to have to talk to you about one of those.
I don't know.
Goodbye. That was painful.